Trump's coalition ahead of 2026 midterms, with Democrats achieving victory in at least three big elections. It laid out a path for revival for a party that has been dispirited and disempowered under the dominance of President Trump. And that sort of sums it all up, doesn't it? That we had this massive, unexpected, the greatest comeback in the history of the world 1 year ago. And since then, we have completely fumbled it, completely failed to entrench our victory, and have basically lost every game that we won over the last year. And I put most of that blame squarely on the state of Israel, but, you know, Republicans in America, they couldn't do it without them, right? They're a necessary component of that poisonous agenda. So we'll talk about, again, what has led us here and what we can do to get out of this mess. Democrats score biggest win since Trump returned as 2026 looms, and it is looming. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is deciding on Trump's tariffs today. Supreme Court justices appear skeptical that Trump's tariffs are legal. The Supreme Court examined the legality of tariffs imposed by Donald Trump under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977, which critics argue is a misuse of the presidential authority. Now, bizarrely, the stock market rose today despite the Supreme Court signaling that it was not very happy with Trump's tariff decision, which is weird because, as far as I can tell, if they decide against Trump and axe these tariffs, it's going to be like a major economic blow to America. The American government's going to have to like return $90 billion. It's kind of a mess. Meanwhile, YouTube caught deleting video evidence of Israeli war crimes in Gaza. YouTube has deleted hundreds of videos in which evidence Israeli war crimes against Palestinians since October 2025. The NGOs affected warned this is part of an assault on truth, and a lot of people are getting struck down for this, even if they've never had a single mark against them for their entire YouTube career. They are being eliminated entirely for posting the reality of what's going on in Gaza. Meanwhile, Trump calls on Senate to eliminate filibuster, open government tonight, pass entire Republican agenda. We'll show you his statements. I'm moving farther and farther away from this being a good idea. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but after the election tonight and the people's reaction to it, I'm like, I'm sort of just giving up on the modern incarnation of the Republican Party. And I think if they did get rid of the filibuster, the only thing it would do would be open the door for Democrats to be insane. Even if the Republicans we have in office now didn't have a filibuster, would they do anything? Would they do anything with it at all that would benefit us? Absolutely not. Finally, we have this. Russia open to sending hypersonic missiles to Venezuela. What a wonderful can of worms we've opened up there. Another Cuban Missile Crisis coming down the pipe.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. You can follow us on X at Infowars, at Real Alex Jones, myself at Harrison H. Smith, at War Room Show. Make sure you are following us as we continue to battle in the courts to remain open. We could be closed at any moment, so you're going to want to make sure you got the app, you're following us on X, and any other place where we can reach out to you and continue communication should this particular outlet go down. Things aren't looking good, folks. Folks, things aren't looking good, in a word. And it's not just that the elections didn't go our way last night. I didn't really expect them to. But the scale to which they went to the opposition is pretty astonishing. And the results last night should answer some questions that Americans have been dealing with. Or perhaps I should say they should eradicate some misconceptions that have been persistent in the minds of Americans. Republicans operate under this delusion that if you expose the left wing's lack of character, if you expose them to be hypocrites or whatever, that the Democratic voters will respond to that and will think, gee, person isn't a good person. Do I really want them in charge of, I don't know, law enforcement in the state of Virginia? And that by exposing these things, we will sway people away from them. I hope that deception has been eradicated at this point. Jay Jones, of course, won handily, as did Abigail Spanberger. People that had some of the most insane scandals during this campaign in recent American history. I mean, Jay Jones had his text messages leaked that weren't just making edgy jokes. Like, we made this distinction at the time. Because at the time that the Jay Jones scandal was leaking, about half of the Republican talking heads and a good 99% of the establishment Republican talking heads were spending all of their time and all of their energy and all of their effort on condemning Tucker Carlson, I'm pretty sure, is what it was. I actually don't even remember it. No, this was the Young Republican thing. No, I'm sorry. They were going after the anonymous underage staffers that were making edgy jokes in a private chat. That's what they were obsessed with at the time. I actually went back and looked at some major... I actually went back and looked at some major events in the run-up to the election yesterday. And at every pass, when big things were happening, when Jay Jones's text messages were being released, or Abigail Spanberger was debating Winsome Earl Sears and just making an absolute fool of herself. We played the video here where Winsome Earl Sears puts a very simple question to her, and Abigail Spanberger just pretends not to hear it and just zones out and looks off into the distance. And I was like, what? What is it? But didn't stop people from voting for her. And at every pass, when Mom Donnie goes totally viral for not saying he would go to Israel as his first foreign visit as a emissary of New York City, at every pass, what the establishment Republicans were doing at the time were, well, in the case of Mom Donnie, it was trying to get us to go to war in Iran. That was the beginning of June of this year. With Jay Jones, they were going after the Young Republicans. With Winsome Earl Sears and Abigail Spanberger, they were hyperventilating about Tucker Carlson moderately criticizing the military actions of a foreign state. So at every pass, the so-called mainstream establishment Republicans took their eye off the ball and were far, far more concerned with tearing down our side than focusing on the left. And of course, this is compounded by the fact that the left wing, especially in New York City, largely won specifically because of the topic that the right wing is constantly fighting each other over, support of Israel. So it's not just that the Israel first right wingers have just been working to hamper the right wing efforts and doing absolutely nothing to damage the left wing electoral prospects in this country, but the topic of Israel itself has become like the primary driving factor in getting people out to vote, especially young people who went to Mom Donnie in an overwhelming fashion. On top of that, you have all of the immigration that has completely changed the demographics of our country to where if the demographics of New York City were what they were when I was born, Mom Donnie wouldn't have a chance in hell. As it turns out, the only group of people, the only demographic in the city that did not vote a majority for Mom Donnie were white males. every other group of people, every other combination of identities you want to throw out there, every single one of them voted for the communist Muslim. White men, the only ones with a majority saying, yeah, maybe we don't give up our birthright to a hostile foreigner who still lives in Uganda most of the time. So we've been telling you this forever. Again, you know, it doesn't feel good to say that we were right, but we were, and we continue to be. And people can keep calling us names and ignoring us and being wrong and losing, or you can just listen to the very simple solutions that we are constantly proposing. I'm going to go to a couple of videos about this. Let's start with clip 14. This is a good overview from a content creator named Matt Kim, basically saying it's been 1 year since the Trump election, a little over 10 months since the inauguration, and frankly, the honeymoon is over. Let's watch.
Can we have an honest discussion about the state of politics in America? Because last night, Democrats swept the ballots, not just the big ones like mayor of New York City and governors of Virginia and New Jersey, but in key swing states across the country, local elections and districts flipped from leaning red to blue. Latest polls show Trump's approval rating among people under 30 has dropped to 20% and 37% overall. It was well over 50% at inauguration. And I try to tell you this during the recent No Kings rally. A huge proportion of Americans are not happy with how things are going. And yet the MAGA right tried to say I was delusional. But you just can't call everything you don't want to hear fake news. Being in denial, it doesn't change reality. I said it then, and I'll say it again. Americans are fed up with being told the economy is good just because the stock market is up, while restaurants and small businesses are clearly struggling. Inflation is up, unemployment is back up, and the Fed just printed another $30 billion in brand new money by turning on their infinite money printer. Cash flow among the general population has dried up. You take what feels like an unstable champagne bubble economy and then layer on massed federal troops going into cities, body slamming both Americans and non-Americans like they're on World Star, ICE agents cosplaying as Liam Neeson in Taken, and the wars, the never-ending wars, non-stop outflow of U.S. tax dollars to fund other countries' problems. The so-called ceasefire, after the demolition of schools and hospitals, women and children still in them, all to rebuild with luxury hotels and condos? Most Americans do not feel good about being complicit in that. The weight of that injustice sits heavy on our collective soul. I think most Americans could tolerate, or at least humor, the bravado and gloating of this administration if the economy was at least strong. When people are broke, the AI sludge memes and dismissive labeling of every uncomfortable truth as fake news, it gets old really fast. Let me give you a quick reality check. Trump has 1 year left to make significant improvements in this country. If there's no progress, Republicans will lose control of Congress in next year's midterms, and Trump will be in full lame duck mode. And I know I've been really hard on Trump and the MAGA right this year, but that's not my fault. We were given a clear plan during their campaign, and we've fallen so far off course that's impossible to ignore. I don't want the right to lose, actually. I want them to do better, to work on the things we were promised. Trust the plan, it's 4D chess. Oh, clearly, I'm not the only one feeling it.
Yeah, I'm certainly feeling it, and I mean, there's a sense of tone deafness coming from the Trump administration right now. Trump's giving speeches where he's celebrating the high stock market, but young people will never be able to afford a house. They actually, the White House Twitter account, X account today, put out this video. We can play it as B-roll in all caps. 1 year since the greatest comeback in American political history. We can go ahead and roll clip number six here. And, they're like running a victory lap. And it's like, okay, but what have we achieved? What has actually happened? I mean, if you remove the first week of Trump's administration, kind of nothing has happened. I mean, the first week, he shut the border. amazing, fantastic. He pardoned all the January Sixers. Unqualified, good thing there. But what have we gotten since? We bombed Iran. We're starting a war with Venezuela. The Ukraine war continues unabated. We've got tariffs, but those have absolutely no impact on the average person's everyday life, except that maybe prices are going up a little bit. But we haven't seen, you know, major success from that. Like, that hasn't actually tangibly impacted the American people. And most importantly, where are the arrests? Where are the charges? Where are the mugshots? Where are the perp walks? Where is anything that we elected Trump to achieve? Where is the aggressiveness that we all know is necessary to get us back on track? I'll go to some videos to explain this, but I just want to go through a bunch of responses to the election last night that I agree with. This is from Todd Starnes. 10 months after the inauguration and nothing has been codified. States are ignoring Trump's executive orders and there have been no consequences. The do-nothing Republican Congress has nothing, absolutely nothing, has done nothing, absolutely nothing. Hearings galore, but no one has been held accountable for weaponizing our government. All those documents and files the FBI promised to release, we're still waiting. And why aren't we defunding taxpayer-funded schools that refuse to follow executive orders on boys and girls sports? Why haven't they dismantled the Department of Education? And obviously, you could just go on and on and on and on and on about this. Why are we allowing judges to issue national injunctions when the Supreme Court explicitly decided that they could not do that, but they just still are for some reason? How are we allowing the judicial interference, which under Bush was 6 injunctions in 8 years, compared to Donald Trump 175 plus in just over 4 years? Why are these people not being impeached? Why are the judges not being impeached? Or why are we not just doing things through the military to circumvent the civilian courts? Like, why aren't we doing any of the million things that we could be doing to achieve total victory? And at this point, I don't know what it was. Again, I wasn't surprised by the elections that happened yesterday, but it just sort of made it more real. It made it more real that you had such overwhelming victories and really a clean sweep from the Democrats. I think the one thing that I didn't want to happen that didn't happen was, luckily, Omar Fetta is not the mayor of Minneapolis. No, we still have Jacob Frey, the guy who knelt and cried at St. George Floyd's funeral next to the golden casket. It was not even a good thing. It's just not the worst outcome. The one silver lining to the cloud is that Omar Fetta can go away until the next time he runs for office and probably wins. Let's go to some other people talking about it. You've heard this from me enough, because I've been saying it since before Trump was even in office for the second time, asking the question, how long are we going to wait? How much time are we going to give the Trump administration? If we're 6 months in and there have been no arrests, no grand juries, no into the war in Ukraine or Israel, are we going to be mad then? Well, here we are a year after the election, 10 months after the inauguration, and I can't really see a single thing to hang our hat on. And except for the pardons of the January Sixers. But what about all the people that threw the January Sixers in jail? I'm glad they were released, and that was an easy thing for Trump to do. But they were released because they should have never been in prison in the first place, because their entire imprisonment was an act of fraud. It was just kidnapping by the state. It was a crime to do to them what was done. So not only should they be out of prison, the people that put them there need to take their place. I haven't even seen any discussions about that, let alone movement in that direction. Let's go to John Solomon here. I've got a couple of these. I think, which is the last one I put in? Is that 16? Yeah, let's go to clip 16 here. This is John Solomon talking to Steve Bannon earlier today.
Bunch of updates. In fact, you're bringing some news on the investigation, because I can tell you one of the frustrations of the MAGA movement is like, where are the perp walks, right? We're 9 months into this thing, a year from the day we won. It's the anniversary. What do you got for us?
Well, I think a very important story this morning. Back in April, that's now, what, 6 months from now, if I'm doing my math correctly, Kash Patel opened up a criminal investigation because he found these Comey documents and other documents like them in burn bags about to be destroyed. Some of them were not in the digital system, so if they had been burned, they would have been lost forever. One of those things are the Comey notes that we just saw in the court filing. 6 months later, even though we know who went in and out of SCIF, we know who probably put the burn bags in, because SCIFs, these storage areas, have cameras, they have access codes, so you know who's in. Has the Justice Department indicted any of those people for obstruction? No. The criminal case was open. We didn't even get the documents. Kash Patel gets the documents to the DOJ right after April. It took us until November to get the documents, and it was only because Lindsey Halligan had the courage to stick them into a court filing. The DOJ, as I keep saying on your show, is grossly trailing behind the FBI. It is not resourced for the mission that Donald Trump gave them. The budget cuts they agreed to, they didn't reprioritize weaponization in a way that got them the staff. There are tens of thousands of pages of documents sitting waiting to be produced to Congress. And yesterday, to give you a sense of where our attorney general is, she did an Epstein documents 2.0 on all of us. She did it. She put out this tweet, got a lot of traffic, great Fox News story. Oh my God, guess what I discovered? I discovered that Joe Biden gave up Donald Trump's phone and Mike Pence's phone to Jack Smith. That's great, Madam Attorney General, except that story came out in April. She wasn't even aware that that wasn't a new development, but an old development that had been discussed by Senators Grassley and Johnson for months. If you want to fix the perp walk problem, if you want to fix the opportunity to bring accountability, Kash Patel has the evidence. The prosecutors, with the exception of Halligan, are lagging far behind the evidence, and that sand clock is ticking down not only on statute of limitations, but on the time that occurs in between elections. 26 elections already underway. We're missing really valuable time to educate the public. The American people are missing valuable time. I don't think DOJ is getting there. When you see that there was a 6-month delay in this document, when you see the Attorney General presenting something new that is old, she's so far behind the facts, I'm really worried that Donald Trump doesn't have the team that can bring accountability to the Justice Department. That's just my reporting. And by the way, that's what many Justice Department and members of Congress have been saying to me privately over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Wait, it seems like half the people get it. Half of MAGA gets it. But we're still being run by these old mustache Petes, these old hobbling goblins. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Mitch McConnell. Here's the leader of the Senate shuffling his way. I guess Thune is technically the leader, but here's the godfather of the Senate. Mitch McConnell shuffling his way to the Senate for a floor vote or something of the sort. Let's watch. Oh, there he is. There he is, shuffling his way. This is who's leading us. He's got two different people helping prop him up here so it doesn't fall on the ground. We are literally having to carry Mitch McConnell into the Senate so that he can, you know, continue to sell us out until his final breath. Yeah, pretty stark difference. So no energy, no vitality, no youthfulness, just the decrepit skeletal bones clinging on to power as America is flushed down the toilet beneath them. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. And I don't mean it's a big problem in the sense of, I want to win the big game. The elections are a big game and we lost the big game and now I'm sad. I'm saying this is a big problem in the way that, like, the fall of the Roman Empire is a big problem, that, like, World War II, you could say was a big problem, right? I'm talking about, if we don't do this correctly, rivers of blood. Okay, I'm not saying that, like, red team got beaten by blue team. I'm saying that America has all of the characteristics that define a nation on the brink of absolute chaos. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Roman Republic falling to Julius Caesar or the Civil War in Spain in the early parts of the 20th century, or the Weimar Republic in Germany, or the French Revolution. Every single one of these share extremely specific characteristics that America shares with all of them. And in every single instance, you have one of two options available to the people in those nations. I'd throw Tsarist Russia in with this as well. Either the left wing takes power and turns you into a communist hellhole that can last for dozens, if not hundreds of years, where generation after generation of people that come after are subjected to abject misery and slavery and abuse and despotism from an entrenched technocratic government for which there is no recourse. Or the right wing takes power and you have a strong man like Franco or like Hitler who says, no, we're not going to let this country fall to communism. We're actually going to fight back because we recognize the danger that lies ahead. I'm not talking about losing an election. I'm talking about losing a civilization that it took 2,000 years to build. I'm talking about reverting to the political Stone Age beyond simple feudalism, where at least at the bare minimum, the kings and nobles had some, you know, similarity to the people they ruled over, and theoretically some familial love for the people that were their charges. This is going to be feudalism with foreigners as the lords. This is going to be feudalism with a bunch of hostile psychopaths with uncontained and unrestricted power to do whatever they want to people who they already, when they're not even in power, they're threatening to kill and they're celebrating the murder of. So I'm not surprised by the results of the election yesterday. I do see it as a terrifying bellwether if we don't handle this correctly.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. I got to, and then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, t-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it, get a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to theoliveshowstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He's hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own theoliveshowstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of t-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, especially get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultramethylene Red about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and Fight for Freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now at TheAuctionStore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Let's lighten up, shall we? We're going to lighten up a little bit. I know I ended the last segment with rivers of blood, and so I'm not downplaying that. That is where we're headed, and I can expand on that in just a little bit. And there's a lot of other stuff to concern ourselves with as well, obviously. You know, a lot of people out there saying, you know, all this focus on politics isn't even really the thing. That's all a distraction, because in reality it's this, you know, AI digital ID control system, and I've got videos about the attacks on farms and the way that cattle are being murdered by Bill Gates across the world. I mean, those are big issues as well. Those are like the cancer that we have. It's like we have cancer and they will kill us. That will kill us eventually, especially if it's untreated, absolutely. But the politics are, is like somebody trying to break in our home and kill us. So it's, you know, it's like you're trying to defend your house from a murderer. And you got people going, hey, you got cancer. You know, maybe that's what your focus should be on. It's like, well, let me survive this bout. Let me kill my enemy, and then I'll deal with the cancer. But, you know, it's like, doesn't really matter if I have cancer if this guy kills me, right? If these people get in power and throw us all in FEMA camps, then at that point, I guess they can kill all the cows. What do I care? Now, it's all part and parcel of the same mission, the same effort. But we'll get into what, you know, Republicans need to do to reverse this trend. But we'll lighten it up a little bit here. We'll start off this segment with Tyler Fisher. He's very excited about Mom Donnie. He's been living in Texas, and finally he gets to go back to New York and live the life of a cool city guy. Let's watch.
Hi, guys. Comedian, actor Tyler Fisher here, and I just made the decision. I am moving back to New York City. I've been in Texas for a year, and I have to be there for Mom Donnie. I just do. I know a lot of people will be surprised by this, but like, dude, I'm so sick of living in Texas where I don't even pay state income tax. Think about that. So I have to like find things to do with my money. Like, this is my third coffee of the day. I'm gonna buy a paddleboard. I'm hiking, new shoes, and it's like, I'm just done with it. I have to give up 52% of my income. I have a car, which is like, it's so toxic cis white male of me, you know what I mean? And they're charging money to take buses here. Charging money. So what do homeless people do if they want to go on there and sleep and piss and shit and stab somebody? They have to go and fundraise to get on a bus? Like, what the fuck? So I'm just going to get back there and get back to the Gays for Palestine protests.
Even the bikers aren't assholes.
And like, nobody has assaulted me today. I'm sitting here, literally, I got cash hanging out of my pockets. No one's called me a racist, toxic, cis white male. What am I doing here? America's to be abused and live in a tiny studio apartment and welcome illegal migrants into your space. I'm going to have probably 10 living with me sharing a bed because I care. And my dating life here is amazing. Like, women, they like when I take charge. They like when I lead. They're nice. They're feminine. Barf, gag me.
I prefer a woman with a shaved head, 8 cats, who hates men, the patriarchy, but still wants me to pay the bill.
And what if I get attacked right now? What am I supposed to call the racist cops? No, no, no. Mom Donnie's going to have therapists come and talk out the problems. Hey, excuse me. Why did you just shoot that guy in the face? Maybe it's a childhood fear of eye contact. Really get to the bottom of the problem, you know? I'm tired of feeling like a man because there is no gender. You know, and I'm in my Audi alone listening to my own music, but how can I deal with that? There's no stranger blasting rap or some homeless guy overdosing on fentanyl, waving his dick in my face. That's just not America. That's not the America I grew up in. Freedom is so overrated.
And in Texas, the rainbows are for kids? What? No, that's for grown men in drag with fake tits and their junk hanging out, reading softcore porn to children. Come on.
I mean, I only saw 2 penises today. One was mine, and one was my dog's. Nobody's calling me a racist cracker. What a ripoff.
I mean, who can live like this? No honking, no sirens. This is racism.
I've spent 20 years building up my career, my success. Why should I keep that? I should give it to somebody who snuck over the border. He deserves it. Praise Allah and
That's very good. That's very good. Tyler Fisher on his no-fly list tour. That's the way to handle this. I know. I'm all down and out about this. We should just be, you know, laughing at it, but, you know, it really ain't funny. That was, but our situation isn't. So there you go. Fun time over. Back to hell. Back to hell we go. Let me just go through some of these headlines, some of the statements from people that I like and what they had to say about the elections yesterday. From Gateway Pundit, Jay Jones, radical Democrat who fantasized about murdering Republicans, wins Virginia Attorney General election. I never made my point about this last segment. I just started rambling. I never actually made the point because at the time that this was going on, the right wing was divided about the young Republicans using the N-word in a chat with their friends. Oh, my God. Meanwhile, this guy wasn't making edgy jokes. He was very sincerely expressing his love of violence as a political tool. Like, I can't explain this enough. This was not him being like, God, I just wish all these people were dead. And it's like, oh, that was kind of an outburst, but he didn't mean it. No, he actually walks through his reasoning why he thinks people should have to hold their dead children because they disagree with him politically. Okay? So we're perfectly clear. She said, he's asked, you weren't simply asking questions and you know it. And he says, I genuinely was. I wasn't attacking you. I was trying to understand your logic. You weren't trying to understand. You were talking about hoping Jennifer Gilbert's children would die. And Jay's response is, yes, I've told you this before. Only when people feel pain personally do they move on policy. Yeah. So, like, what? What? The hell is that? And that guy is now the top cop in Virginia. Top cop. Why would our fellow Americans vote for somebody who genuinely believes that the way to deal with people you disagree with politically is that they have to feel the consequences of their policy, that is, hold their dead baby in their arms, and then that'll convince them to change their mind? Again, it's not it. It's shocking and it's horrifying for a politician to say that. That's not the shocking and horrifying thing, though. The real shocking and horrifying part about this is he went on to win his election. People heard that and then voted for him. Have I mentioned rivers of blood? Have I mentioned the rivers of blood yet? Because I see them. I can see them in my mind. Virginia turns blue. Democrat Abigail Spanberger wins gubernatorial race. Democrat Muslim Ghazala Hashimi wins lieutenant governor election. With 27% of the votes in, Spanberger's received 500,000 votes versus Winsome Sears, who only received 45% of the vote. Spanberger's a far-left radical Democrat who proudly stated she will not work with President Trump, even if it means sacrificing jobs in her state. And when asked about her position on transgenders in locker rooms and bathrooms, she just pretended to be deaf instead of answer the question. And again, it's like, you know, it must be nice to be a Democrat, man. It really must be nice when, like, a question is put to you about one of your sort of like foundational policies, and they go, hey, this policy seems like it actually has a bad outcome. What do you think about that bad outcome? Instead of having to come up with an argument, instead of having to try to reframe it or contextualize it, you just pretend you don't hear the question, so you just don't have to answer the question. Again, I never would have expected America to be a place where that tactic would work, but okay, that's where we are now. In case you didn't see the video, it was Winsome Earl Sears, her opponent, saying, wait, what's your position on transgenders in the bathroom? Do you want to exclude men from women's bathrooms, biological males from women's bathrooms, or are you okay with your young daughter being in a room with a naked stranger man? And that, it's not a gotcha. It's not a trick question. It's literally, what is your policy? Because it has to be one of these. You have to choose between these. Either you have to exclude the man from the locker room, or you have to be okay with your daughter changing with a man. Which one is it? And Abigail Spanberger's response is to just stare blankly into the distance and pretend she doesn't hear the question. And the American people saw that and voted for her. I'm sorry, but like, so now you just don't even have to like have a position, I guess, is how this works. We thought Trump was the greatest debater. I got to hand it to Abigail Spanberger. She showed us how you can achieve victory. Let's bring this clip in now that I'm mentioning it so much. Let's bring it in so we can play it with the audio. We have the audio. I can't believe Trump didn't think about this. I cannot believe this brilliant political play came from somebody like, oh my God, are those swastikas on those chairs? Guys, I see swastikas on those chairs. Guys, I think we need to burn the Capitol building down. Yeah, because they're Nazis. Because they're Nazis. Please. I'm not calling for burning the Capitol building down. I'm calling for them to burn the Capitol building down because it has swastikas embedded in the chair. Can't believe they've gotten away with this for so long. Let's go to this video. This is Winsome Earl Sears, loser who lost this race like an idiot, having positions, having policies that she can discuss. The fool, the idiot. No, she should have known the better plan was to just be a Democrat and just exist. And then you win, apparently. Let's watch.
Well, I think as everybody knows, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian before I'm a Republican, and I'm required to forgive people. And it's hard sometimes when somebody has abused you, etc., but it's something you must do, because not to forgive is almost like, as someone said, you drink poison thinking that it's going to affect the other person. And I want to live a decent life, and I don't want to not have peace in my life. And so as I've said before, I would not say that. So that's why I'm wondering why my opponent won't say beyond it's abhorrent and disgusting, why she won't say it is not okay and that he must leave the race, because Jay Jones advocated the murder, Abigail, the murder of a man, a former speaker, as well as his children who were 2 years, 2 and 5 years old. You have little girls. What would it take him pulling the trigger? Is that what would do it? And then you would say he needs to get out of the race? Abigail, you have nothing to say? Abigail, what if he said it about your three children? Is that when you would say he should get out of the race, Abigail? You're running to be governor.
You know, Biden might still be president if he'd taken that tack. He didn't know, the fool. These fools that think you have to actually, you know, respond to prompting when you're supposed to, you know, when you're debating to be in charge of an entire state. In the old days, and these are the old Nazi days of white supremacy and, you know, electoral competence, you know, the evil system of white supremacy that the America ran, you expected politicians to respond to questions with reasonable answers. You expect them to be able to justify their policies by discussing it in simple terms. No, not anymore. Not anymore, folks. The blank stare beats it all. The greatest argument, the undefeatable argument, the blank, empty, retarded stare. I can see some of the famous, you know, debate moments from the past would have looked a hell of a lot different, right? Instead of Joe Biden bumbling and fumbling and, you know, losing track of what he was saying, he should have just sat there. Trump could have said stuff and he just kept sitting there. People would have been like, wow, what an amazing performance by this stalwart of the Democratic Party. So, you know, I'm going off on this for a while, but like the point is that democracy doesn't work and we have to stop letting people vote. I think that actually might be the case. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. But what do you do? What do you do when somebody get elected as governor of a state when asked a direct question, especially, and that was a different clip. That was about Jay Jones. There's another clip. She does the exact same thing, but it's about the transgender bathroom policy. Sort of a big, you know, political, you know, hot potato right now. And she just does the same thing. She just refuses to answer. Wow. Amazing. Well done. Now, I mean, maybe this can go beyond debates. Maybe, you know, when Trump gets asked about your deportation program is separating children, and Trump can just go, and there you go. Take that, fake news. You can't do much. You can't spin that, can you? Just silence. So, yeah, I think we have to end voting somehow. I don't know how exactly, but frankly, the American people have proven themselves unworthy of the privilege. Am I joking? I don't even know anymore. I don't even know anymore. When they're voting for people who, in complete sincerity, say, I want my opponent's children to be killed, to teach them a lesson. And when you can elect as governor a woman who, when she doesn't, because she doesn't have an answer, doesn't have a response, just ignores the question. Okay. Let's continue. Mikey Sherrill wins New Jersey governor election, defeating Trump-backed Republican Jack Ciattarelli on Tuesday. The Democrat won with 57%, just about 57% of the vote to 33%. Campaign theme centered on immigration and housing, with affordability, immigration and housing development shaping voter choices. Sherrill campaigned on freezing electricity rates, expanding first-time home buyer aid, and investing in transit. Record spending exceeded $225 million. This outcome keeps Democrats in the governor's office and serves as an early test of Trump's influence after he endorsed Jack Ciattarelli. So there you go. Trump not doesn't quite have the Midas touch he once did. Abigail Spanberger elected Virginia's first female governor, flipping the state blue after Republicans were in charge the last 4 years and basically did nothing for anybody and had nothing to run on. Well done. Zoran Mamdani elected as mayor of New York, of course. 34-year-old Democratic Socialist state assemblyman with no experience and a communist background. And California voters approve new U.S. House map to boost Democrats in 2026. On November 4th, California voters approved Proposition 50 to redraw congressional districts after the legislature and Governor Gavin Newsom signed it on August 21st. Under Prop 50, the legislature, not the Citizens Commission, will redraw maps mid-decade, suspending the independent California Citizens Redistricting Commission and departing from the usual post-U.S. Census redraws. Okay, this is funny. I hadn't read this yet, and I was kind of confused at this other thing I was seeing. I doubt I can find it now. But basically, they were doing exit polls in California, and so Prop 50 passed very easily. But in the exit polls, they asked people, did you vote for Prop 50? And they said yes. And then they asked the people, would you rather have an independent commission draw the lines, or do you want it to be the Democrats and people in power now drawing the lines? And over 90% of the respondents who voted yes for Prop 50 said, oh, I'd rather have it be an independent commission. What? So they voted against what they wanted. Prop 50 is the thing that takes it out of the hands of the independent commission and gives it to Gavin Newsom. When people were polled about this, they thought it was the exact opposite. You talk about low information voter. They literally just think like, well, Trump is trying to redraw districts, and so we have to redraw districts, so I'm voting for Prop 50 so we can redraw the districts. And then they're asked like, but wouldn't it be better if there was an independent commission? And they're like, oh yeah, definitely, we should do that. That's the better choice. Okay, well, that's what Prop 50 does away with. It was 90+%. 90+% of the Prop 50 voters, when asked about specifics of the proposition, actually believe the opposite of what they voted for. For their own good, we have to do away with voting, it seems. New Democratic Party, Virginia Democrat, vote in deranged man who wants to kill Republicans and see their children die in their mother's arms. Again, not in a joke. He didn't say a joke. He said that and then explained his reasoning, why he believes that. Voters approve Newsom's power grab to eliminate 5 congressional seats. Wonder if this has the thing. Of course, elections in California are completely broken anyway and have been forever. In fact, you know, since we're talking about California elections, low information voters and the whole thing being rigged to hell, let's go to clip 20 here. Gavin Newsom's Prop 50 passed, and here's what it looked like to vote in California yesterday.
Do you guys require ID?
No, by law, no.
We're out here in California doing our civic duty, which is to vote. We're here to vote no on Prop 50. Keep Gavin Newsom from stealing the state more than he already has.
Prop 50 is foundational if we're going to save this republic.
Now, you'll find a few very curious things at this voting location, just as you will at any California voting location. All of the signs in about 50 different languages.
Look at all these rules, but they're not in English. Chong Tao Bao, Chong Xi.
What does that mean?
Immigrants from all over the world dumped into our country, and you can believe they're voting at the ballot box because they don't require ID. Do you guys require ID?
No, by law, no.
I voted.
Luke Melchior, really, that's really fantastic stuff. No ID to vote. And we know that's the case. Mail-in ballots is obviously even worse. California Republicans thought they could beat Newsom's gerrymander. They crashed and burned inside the bumbling, dysfunctional tin cup effort to defeat Prop 50. I mean, what'd you try to do? Argue? Again, you fools. You absolute fools, still operating under this belief that the better argument will win, that you even have to have an argument in the first place. You think voters are informed about what they're voting on? They literally vote the opposite of what they want. So you got to take a different tactic, is what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to take a different tactic, because trying to appeal to people who know absolutely nothing and care even less is just not a winning strategy, unfortunately. That's just the world that we live in, the world that has been built for us, the world we have been left with by our forefathers, is one in which the average American voter is simultaneously dumb as a box of rocks, uninformed as it's humanly possible to be, and also extremely active and you know, aggressive and forthright and upfront and strident in what they're voting for. It's a very poisonous combination. O'Keefe has a Democrat insider revealing on hidden camera Gavin Newsom is funneling the money donated to his Prop 50 redistricting election into a presidential campaign fund for himself. This is money laundering. Well, in California, they call that just being the government. That's what the California government does. It's what they do with the homeless. It's what they do with the fire prevention funds. It's what they do with election funds. I know this is just what they do. And they can be exposed by it. Like, I know we've said this enough, but the Democrats really don't care. Like, I think the thing you need to understand is they genuinely do not care about propriety, honesty, genuineness. Like, it just, it actually does not matter to them. How we deal with that, I don't know. We got to come up with it. We got to come up with an idea. But, like, I guarantee you, if somebody goes, oh, Prop 50, that's a great idea. We need an independent commission, right? Just believing the opposite. I'm going to give $100 to Prop 50. And then you went and told them that their money in particular, you said you donated to Prop 50. That money Gavin Newsom took and put straight in his pocket for his own self-aggrandizement, for his own political ambitions. He took your donation for this policy and just pocketed it so he could try to become president of the United States to raise his own profile. You know what the Democrat would say? Oh, well, good for him. Oh, good for him. I think he'd make a great president. It's like, he just robbed you. He just mugged you for $100. Do you think they care? Do you really think they care? They don't care, folks. They don't care. They don't care if the policies matter. They don't care if the policies mean anything or if there's any justification for it. They just don't care, folks. They just don't care. Their worldview is the same as their view of history. Simplistic and retarded. We'll be right back.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to theallyshowstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Ally Shows Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAllyShowStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, / 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAllyShowStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Setup for this, for these, the 3-year setup for the expiration of these credits was intentionally put in. It was put in when you controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. You couldn't get it passed for longer. And so this is a setup that kind of your own creation that you all couldn't extend beyond that. Now you want the Republicans to do something you didn't do when you were in power.
That's not a setup.
The Democrats have now decided to own the record government shutdown circus, potentially starving the poor as a means to use leverage against the White House and the American people.
Shutdowns are terrible. And of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously, but it is one of the few leverage times we have.
Leverage. Yeah, sure, they're okay with people suffering, but boy, does it give them leverage. For what? To appease their radical base, to show their radical base they're fighting Donald Trump. So they've made the calculation it's okay to cause suffering to families.
But why not vote to fund the government, at least for now, and then negotiate on the subsidies later while the government is open?
Clearly, the Republicans don't want to negotiate.
Donald Trump is withholding the money because he wants to inflict maximum pain on Americans to hope it helps him politically.
The Republicans are not allowed in the room. So the operating budget that increased taxes, the Democrats that we went to, you know, $78 billion, it's all the Democrats' budget.
It is truly amazing how a program Democrats created and tax credits that they chose to sunset have now become the Republicans' crisis.
Over 42 million SNAP recipients, one in eight Americans, leaning on $188 monthly to survive, are facing a November blackout.
I want to be in the grocery store when they start looting it, because you think that people are going to be hungry? You think that these people not going to get their Thanksgiving? Baby, when they run up in there and start stealing them turkeys, it's gonna be like Christmas game.
Now you're threatening us, talking about if they get rid of the SNAP, I'm gonna start stealing.
Every time I turn around and look on the internet, y'all stealing in Walmart, you're stealing in Walgreens, you're stealing in CVS, you're stealing everywhere. What is you talking about? That ain't no threat. You been stealing.
I'm gonna be stealing like it ain't no tomorrow. I am going to go in that store, get everything I get regularly, and I'm going to have one of my cousins with me that'll punch your ass so hard you're going to think a Jet 2 Holiday hit your bitch ass if you think I ain't going to walk out that store.
Get ready. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to get lit. BJ's, Costco's, get ready.
From Texas's 3.5 million hungry, including 1.7 million children, to the shadows of New York's 3 million in the urban and rural areas, anticipating the $8 billion SNAP program's collapse.
It's baffling to me that some people feel like other people need to earn food.
I mean, it's bad to do at the same time. They're probably doing it for a reason. They need those things.
With or without EBT, me and mine gonna eat.
How they gonna pay the light bill? And they can't sell stamps.
She works at the food stamp office. Listen to what she says.
It is because of Trump. There ain't no sidestepping it. I'm blaming him for everything.
Media megaphones weaponized Trump's supposed failure.
I think they all ought to have their heads shaven. They should be put in orange pajamas and it should be marched down Pennsylvania Avenue, and the public should be invited to spit on them. The universities, the corporations, the law firms, all of these collaborators should be shaved, pajamaed, and spit on.
It's a double standard, as bold as it is reckless, fanning the flames of a starving, misdirected mob ready to unleash hell on their fellow innocent Americans as they race forward toward unyielding, violent speech.
Poor people, all they want is for us to fight. So if you hit me in my face, I'm not going to punch you back in your face. I'm going to go across your neck.
You guys say this is about saving health care, but how do these pet projects fit?
Yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about or what Republican extremists fed you those talking points.
The head of the Lenawee County Democratic Party, Bill Swift, who also called for anyone that supported Donald Trump be hung, like I said, 11 months ago, attended the Dingle.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app, and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're listening to The War Room with your host,
Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, folks. Yesterday, Zoran Mamdani, 34-year-old communist Nepo baby, who's only been an American for 6 years, became mayor of the city of New York. And I think there's something, New York seems to be a hotbed for this stuff, but there's something to be learned from the first time you see these people. Remember AOC, nobody knew who AOC was. Nobody ever heard of her until she won the election. Y'all remember that? Probably the first time anybody saw AOC outside of her congressional district, the first time she came to national prominence, was when she was declared the victor of her race. And there was that video of her shocked that she had won. And that was the first time anybody saw her. So what I took away from that was, okay, they're working behind the scenes or working quietly to unseat, sort of establishment Democrats with these radical Democrat, with these, radical socialists. And then maybe this could be a strategy to follow instead of, busting onto the national scene and making a big name for yourself and then running for office. You just quietly recruit somebody, you run the numbers, you run the algorithms, you figure out a vulnerable person, you figure out which racial wedge you've got to, invoke in order to get enough votes to win. You just quietly do it and achieve, and then she's the congresswoman, and nobody had ever heard of her. She wasn't a big national name at that point, but she was a congresswoman, and now we all know who she is. And so the first time probably any of us had ever heard of Zoran Mamdani was when a clip of a particular debate went absolutely viral. Yeah, this was the clip of AOC, first time anybody'd ever seen who she was her winning the contest. Okay, there's a lesson there. There's a lesson in strategy if you care to pay attention to it. Now, on the other side, you've got Mamdani. Clip number 8, this was the clip that not only brought him to national prominence, but this won him the election. I should have bet on it. I'm not a betting man, but the moment this clip went viral, I should have put $1,000 on Mamdani because he won the election with this clip. And everything else from then was just sort of fluff. But this was the deciding factor. This was the standout moment for a couple of reasons I will go through. But we all remember it. Let's relive it. Early June 2025, some dude named Zoran Mamdani goes viral for this clip. Let's watch.
Always considered significant. Where would you go first? Left, right, Ms. Adams.
First visit, I would visit the Holy Land.
Mr. Cuomo?
Given the hostility and the anti-Semitism that has been shown in New York, I would go to Israel.
Mr. Tilson, where would you go?
Yeah, I'd make my fourth trip to Israel, followed by my fifth trip to Ukraine, two of our greatest allies fighting on the front lines of the global war on terror.
Mr. Mamdani?
I would stay in New York City. My plans are to address New Yorkers across the five boroughs and focus on that.
Mr. Mamdani, can I just jump in? Would you visit Israel mayor?
I will be doing, as the mayor, I'll be standing up for Jewish New Yorkers, and I'll be meeting them wherever they are across the five boroughs, whether that's in their synagogues and temples or at their homes or at the subway platform, because ultimately we need to focus on delivering on their concerns.
And just yes or no, do you believe in a Jewish state of Israel?
I believe Israel has the right to exist.
Not
as a Jewish state?
Notice.
As a state with equal rights.
He won't say it has a right to exist as a Jewish state. Be very
and
clear.
And his answer was no. He won't visit Israel.
I said that.
That's what he was trying to say.
Unlike you, I answered questions very directly.
All right. My goal would be to take my first trip to Israel. My wife's life work in this area means a lot to our family, and it could coincide with my young son Miles' bar mitzvah. If you'd like to have his bar mitzvah.
Okay,
so that was the clip that brought him to national prominence and won him the election. Because nothing motivates people like the Israel conflict did. I mean, a lot of people in New York are out there going, I'm voting against killing babies. That's how they perceive it. And they're not exactly wrong about that. But it wasn't just that he was the only one not to immediately say Israel. It was that then they piled on him. And yet he stood his ground. And yet he reasserted his position. He showed strength of character. Like, what are you going to say? I don't agree with him. I think he's a weasel. I think part of his, whole operation is to present himself constantly as the victim. So I don't like that. But people are looking for somebody who can stand on principle. They're looking for somebody that's not going to sell out their nation. They're looking for somebody that says things like, I'm running for New York. I'm going to put New Yorkers first. I'll meet you wherever you want in the boroughs. But that's going to be my concern. And then to be lambasted. And then to have, oh, well, wait, but do you believe that in Jewish supremacy? Do you believe that Israel should be a Jewish state? Say yes. Say yes right now. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be on that side. They're going to go for the underdog. At least that's how it's perceived. Say what you want about the reality of it. That's the perception, and perception guides reality in democracies. Sort of why they suck. So he won the election with that. But it's not just Israel. It's the economic stuff too. And socialism, as any thinking person knows, as anybody who's read history, is literally a pipe dream. All of his programs are going to go horribly. It's just not a good thing. But how many times have I made the same case over and over and over again? Where you've got young people, not even a vast majority. Do you know any young people that are doing great? Do you know any young people that are just killing it and, you know, six figures and wife doesn't work and it doesn't exist? 99% of young people are utterly hopeless about the future of the economy of this country, and for very good reason, because of, you know, their life experience. And at every pass, the Republicans don't care. They don't care. They don't have an answer. They don't have a response. Their only thing is to basically criticize them for whining and make fun of them for wanting a solution, because the only people offering solutions are the socialists and the communists. Now, don't get me wrong. What they're offering is not a solution. Something significantly worse. But they are at least responding to the concern and offering a vision, offering a possibility. Now, what the Republicans could do is lay out the actual argument of how we got here, because it's obvious and inarguable. If you think that America is worse now than it was in the past, which I think everyone does, it's one of the main concerns of the Zoran Mamdani types, looking around and, oh, inequality and all this stuff, and they go, okay, yeah, it's a lot worse now, and it's getting worse. And the obvious question then is, okay, are we more conservative now than we were back then? Obviously not. Okay, so actually, the more socialist programs go into place, the worse everything gets, and it's a one-to-one correlation. It's like a direct cause and effect. But they don't care. But they don't care about that. They don't understand that. They don't know that. No, the reality is that the reason the economy is so bad is because we have been systematically and deliberately hollowed out for the last several decades by globalists who constantly choose the rest of the world over the United States, and that is the issue, and that is the problem, and that's why nobody can afford to live here. The reason nobody can afford to buy a house is because they're competing with 10, 20, 30 million illegal immigrants that are also buying houses, only their houses are subsidized by the government. Like Kamala Harris's, which they do in California and doing a bunch of other states. First-time home buyers, which actually means that your parents can't have bought a home. So if your parents had a home, you're not getting the bonus that some dude from Guatemala gets. That's the reason you can't afford a home. The reason you can't afford a home is because BlackRock is buying them up, because they're trying to change humanity as a whole so that property and ownership are things of the past, and that we all are just sort of, you know, impermanent, temporary visitors that are here just to, you know, pleasure ourselves and then fade away. And there's no human striving, there's no achievement, there's no goals to reach to, no trying to go to the stars, just an endless churning of humanity, sort of the gnashing of teeth and, you know, wailing of monsters. Like that's their vision of the world. That's why they're buying up houses. They're trying to destroy ownership, because ownership imparts control, which in turn is freedom. Is anybody making this argument? The reason that you can't get a job, even though you took on $120,000 of debt to become an engineer, is because they're importing Indians who will work for a third of what you cost. They're so cheap to hire them that they'll hire them lawyers, they'll pay for their houses, they'll give them bonuses and child care, the tent program. This provided this to illegal immigrants. Immigration lawyers to argue their case, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are all benefits they get because they can so undercut your wages. that the companies are happy to pay it. So if you want to solve the problems, you have to look at what has caused the problems, explain that to people, and then reverse it. The problem is everybody in the Republican Party that gets listened to are donors, and they're the ones that run the companies that are offshoring all of their work overseas and pocketing the difference. So they're not going to make that argument. We had this discussion. We had this argument, this disagreement back in the very beginning of this year, the very end of the last, around Christmas time, with the H-1B visa discussion on X getting very heated, with Elon Musk saying, go F yourself if you don't like being replaced by 10 billion Indians. So it's like, yes, the economy is bad. Meanwhile, Trump is posting 3 times a day about how great the economy is, not reflective in our lives, the way things are going. They will not point out the things that have actually gotten us to a crappy economy, because it's all stuff that their donors love and want to have continue. So the only people making financial arguments, making economic arguments, are the socialists and the communists, whose ideas are crap, but are the only option for young people who see themselves as, you know, hated by the old white dudes that tell them, just pick yourself up by your bootstraps, kid. From their third home on the lake, you know, from their boat. And I say this because when you look at, like, going back to the discussion, and again, it's every single time. This is an intrinsic truth of humanity. Every single time that a country starts into this death spiral, the same thing happens over and over. In some cases, both things happen, right? In the French Revolution, first you had the Communist Revolution and the Jacobins and the beheadings and the blood and the, you know, reign of terror. Then you had the strong man in Napoleon. So they actually did both. But every single time in history that a nation has obtained certain characteristics, one of two occurrences unfolds. Communist Revolution, blood in the streets, tearing down of the whole society to the lowest common denominator in an institution of a tyrannical, bloody regime, or the rise of a strong man to protect the national interest. Every single time. Every single time. U.S. housing market is starved for affordability. Boomers edge millennials and Gen Z out of home ownership in record numbers. The first generation in American history to leave their children worse off than they were. So the reason I bring all this up is because this is one of those characteristics. Inequality is one of those characteristics. It's like a symptom of a disease. And once you see this, and you see it getting worse, you have contracted the disease. And I can go through. I was asking Grok about this. Ancient Roman Republic. The late Roman Republic faced escalating crises like wealth disparity from imperial expansion, corruption in the Senate, land reform failures, and violent political factions, mirroring modern U.S. issues with economic gaps and institutional gridlock. In response, reformers like the Gracchi brothers attempted land redistribution but were assassinated. As also always occurs, reformers always get killed. So peaceful reformation is prevented and violent reformation becomes necessary. Julius Caesar eventually centralized powers. They took the strongman route and actually ended up surviving for another 1,000 years. Tsarist Russia. Pre-17 Tsarist Russia under Nicholas II grappled with rapid industrialization and vast inequality. Peasant unrest, failed reforms, and rigid autocracy that stifled dissent. Okay, so the characteristics that we're seeing shared are stifling of dissent and inequality, two things in America is getting better and better at. Weimar Germany endured hyperinflation, reparations burden from World War I, political violence between extremists, fragmented coalitions echoing U.S. concerns over economic instability, and polarized media landscapes. The government responded with national decrees under Article 48, allowing presidents like Ebert and Hindenburg to bypass parliament during crises such as the 1923 hyperinflation. Okay, once again, hyperinflation being the central cause there. Of the conflict, revolutionary Spain, the Second Spanish Republic was marked by class conflicts, regional separatism, state church tension, violent strikes, paralleling U.S. division over inequality and cultural issues. Inequality is the one thing that is always shared. It is the one symptom that always affects nations right before their total collapse. CEO tells young people to stop buying Starbucks to afford homes. Okay, so put yourself in the position of a young person who's done everything you're supposed to do. Got all the right grades, went to the right schools, took out the right debt. Now, you can't afford a house. Maybe you're living in your car. Regardless, the future you envisioned of a wife and children and a home by the time you're 30, totally impossible, never will be achieved. Culturally, economically, they have made it impossible. And you have two options. You have that headline. You have some sneering billionaire CEO saying, why don't you try stop enjoying your life? Why don't you stop indulging in the most tiny of pleasures? Stop ordering Starbucks. How about you eat cardboard, drink tap water, live in your mom's house, and thank us for the opportunity? How dare you think that as the inheritor of the greatest country that ever lived, that as a hardworking young person, you might be able to indulge in the, you know, pleasure and luxury of a coffee? How dare you? Are you going to go for that guy? Or are you going to go for the Zoran Mamdani that points at that guy and goes, this guy's a jackass. You want me to take his money and give it to you? Who are you going to go with? Is this difficult to understand? Because the false dichotomy is, if you care about inequality, you therefore want redistribution of wealth. How about let's look at the causes of inequality and reverse engineer them? Say, how do we get to this point? And gee, it looks like it's the same thing that happened to ancient Rome. Like, how have we not learned this lesson already? Consolidation. Centralizing. Power, influence, money. Government subsidies. Paying for people's votes to maintain power. And it's just the same thing over and over and over. And if you don't know history, you're going to think that the communists are the good guys. Folks, strong men sort of stepping in to right the ship is not ideal. It's not ideal. It is the preferable alternative. It is certainly preferable to going down the communist path, which I remind you, the Soviet Union, with their Gulag archipelago, with their vast system of millions of slave workers, with the misery and the collapse and the inability to even feed their own people, that experiment lasted for 80 plus years. When it was arrayed against the United States, the most powerful country in the history of the world that had just come off winning World War II and was waging a Cold War against them and working at every turn, ostensibly, and we know how this goes with playing the two sides, but bear with me here. Because the point I'm making is that if you think that communism is just doomed to fail, that it's almost not even a threat because, A, people aren't stupid enough to fall for it, okay? Check the results from yesterday. They are absolutely falling for this. Or that even if they do fall for it, it'll just go so badly. I mean, they think that 4 years from now, New York City will be in a state of collapse and all the New Yorkers will be begging for somebody to save them from the communists. I don't have that hope at all. Because you have a lot of institutions that do want us to become more socialist, do want us to become more communist, and will work to shore up any shortfalls that the mayoral office finds itself in possession of. So I don't even think it's going to go that badly because you've got enough, infinite money from, the billionaires that run the place that they'll, plug any holes. And actually, by the end of this, it'll look like socialism is a success. At least that's what I would be doing if I was them. And they're smart, even if they're evil. They are smart. They'll do something like that. But even if communism gets instituted, it's not a foregone conclusion that it fails. When you have the United States acting as a polar opposite ideological opponent to the USSR, it still survives for 80 plus years. Okay? How long would it have lasted if America didn't exist? Because if America goes down, there's no second America to be there waging the Cold War, trying to defeat communism. If America goes down, will we ever get out of it? Will we ever reclaim freedom? J.D. Vance said this about the elections yesterday. I think it's idiotic to overreact to a couple of elections in blue states, but a few thoughts. He says Scott Pressler, TPUSA, and a bunch of others have been working hard to register voters. I said in 2022, and I've said it repeatedly since, our coalition is, quote, lower propensity. And that means we have to do better at turning out voters than we have in the past. Now, I'd say the reason for that is because they don't have a good story to tell. They don't have a narrative that drives people to the polls. The Democrats, you can see them, and I can play videos. I mean, they're like either crying or they're like hysterically laughing, and they're like, yes. And there's one woman that's just like, I don't know where they are, but I imagine my MAGA parents are crying right now, and that feels so good. And it's like, yes, it's evil. I get that. They are evil people that genuinely get pleasure from their own family members' pain. It's bad. It's very bad. But they've got something that they believe in. They've got something that drives them. For them, casting a vote isn't some civic duty. It's not some, you know, act of citizenship or whatever. It's like, no, this is an attack. They feel like they just fired a gun in a war when they vote because they understand the stakes. And they understand that they are at war. We just haven't gotten that message yet, apparently, on the right wing. The reason low propensity means like, you know, you vote in the presidential elections if it's a particular person that you care a lot about. And it's very true. And it's a problem the right wing has. If we don't love the person running, we just don't go out and vote for him. If we aren't motivated by a personal attachment to the person that we want to see win, we can't be bothered. The Democrats tell themselves a story that they're the resistance against a worldwide white supremacy, Nazi, you know, secret society, and that they, you know, will burn it down for you if you just vote for them. And so they're driven and they're motivated and they get out to vote because they feel like they're participating in a narrative. What is our narrative? What is the narrative the right wing sells? We know what their narrative is. Their narrative is white man evil, colonialism bad, everything wrong in the world goes back to white people, destroy white people and their creations like liberty and human rights. That's the story they tell, and it's very convincing to people. What's the story we tell? Should be the opposite of that. Should be the triumph of the West, but nobody's telling that story.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. It takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, canceling time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, / 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real quick, quick. I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. I'll take your calls for the second half of this show, talking about the future of the political existence of the United States, what the victories of the Democrats portends for the rest of us, and what the Republicans have to do to retain and expand control. Not that it's exactly difficult to understand. It's kind of like we're instructing baseball players that, like, you got to hit the ball with the bat and then run around the bases, okay? It's got to go over the wall, and you get a point, okay? More points wins. Like, it's not complicated what we're explaining here. It's just like they won't do it. They won't do it. It's like if the Republicans were a baseball team who only ever bunted. That's how it feels. Feels like we are cheering for, and our very nation's existence depends on them winning a baseball game. And every single one of them gets up to the plate and bunts. They never swing away. They never once swing away. And somehow they're still striking out. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, that's it. That's the metaphor. I think I figured it out. Republicans are a baseball team that only ever bunts and still is striking out most of the time. That's how it feels. So, you know, the reason I say that is because it's like, like, what do we need to figure out? It's like, call in and give us your ideas of what the Republicans need to do. I think I can guess. I think deportations. I think getting rid of mail-in ballots and, you know, making the election secure. I think people want, you know, the economy to do a little bit better. I think we don't want to be slavishly devoted to Israel and defending them and paying for them and sending infinite money so they can commit a genocide and spending most of our time, it seems, focused on their problems and deporting their enemies and having hearings about their concerns. Okay, that's an issue. Is any of this difficult to understand? These are just like basic things that they all ran on, they all campaigned on, that we were all promised, and they just won't do them. So, I guess my advice would be just to do it already, you absolute cowards. But I'll open up the phone lines in case you have some other creative ideas. 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. I'll continue with this J.D. Vance coverage. I do want to say that, you know, the reason this is so frustrating, the reason why it's exhausting saying this over and over, is because everybody else seems to be waking up to this fact right now. But if you've watched not just The War Room, but American Journal back when I did that, I mean, for years I've been saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And when Zoran Mamdani first came to prominence, and everybody was freaking out about him, and going, oh my gosh, dude, we can't let this guy succeed. This guy looks like he might be a force. You know, maybe we should do something to stop him from being mayor. I had the answer for you. I spelled it out clear as day, all the way back on June 24th of this year. If you don't want a Muslim socialist taking over New York, maybe Republicans should stop A, mocking or dismissing the economic concerns of Generation Z, and B, supporting a genocidal war by Israel. Now, instead of doing either one of these things, they decided to double down on both of these, and now we have a Muslim mayor of New York who is a genuine, outspoken communist. So J.D. Vance seems to recognize this a bit, but again, the low propensity voters is because Republicans don't have anything to believe in. We don't have a story to tell ourselves. We don't feel like we're participating in anything, no matter how hard we work, no matter how much trouble it is to get to the voting booth and cast our vote and get the person elected, they just start serving Israel. And we're just like, okay, then why would we care? Why would we care? Why should we be motivated to go out to vote? It doesn't matter. Might as well have the Muslim communists. Well, you know, what's it going to do? Get worse? You have to deliver to your constituents, you absolute morons. But he continues, we need to focus on the home front. The president has done a lot that has already paid off in lower interest rates and lower inflation, but we inherited a disaster from Joe Biden, and Rome wasn't built in a day. We're going to keep on working to make decent life affordable in this country, and that's the metric by which we'll ultimately be judged in 2026 and beyond. Again, I would say, what does this even mean? Well, what is the – we've made some moves with inflation and whatever. It's like, where is the narrative? Where is the story? Where is the impetus for humans to cling on to? We were left a disaster, but Rome wasn't built in a day. Okay, and – what does that mean? We need to see major, tangible changes, not just slightly lower egg prices. Like we need to see massive moves that actually fundamentally change the economic order in this country, and it needs to start with mass deportations of illegal immigrants. It needs to start with the absolute ending of H-1B visas and the deportation of every illegal immigrant, and then the arresting of corporations that use illegal immigrants, because that is a crime. It's just never one that's enforced. Then house prices will go down, then wages will go up. Hit the ball with the bat, run around the bases. It's not hard. It's not hard. Serve the American people. Do things for the American people, and then make a big deal out of it, and then explain. It's not the Democrats being stupid. It's not the communists being greedy. It's a deliberate plan to collapse the United States because we represent freedom and liberty, and that's what they all want to go away. Then he says this, three, the infighting is stupid. I care about my fellow citizens, particularly young Americans, being able to afford a decent life. I care about immigration and our sovereignty. I care about establishing peace overseas so our resources can be focused at home. If you care about those things, let's work together. That's true. And of course, you know, J.D. Vance has been right about all of the infighting. He has been on the good side, the side that doesn't want to destroy the right wing for the sake of Israel, that doesn't want to oust young people because they use a naughty word in their private group chats. He's been in defense of people who have been targeted for cancellation by the Israeli right. So he's good on that, but what is it going to take? What is it going to take to get Republicans to understand that he's right? I don't know. I do know. I can't say it. Matt Walsh says, There's been a lot of cope among conservatives about how the extremists and radicals on the left have driven leftism into ruination and defeat. In reality, the left just put their most radical and extreme guy in charge of the most important city in our country. The left is not ruined. It is not defeated. They lost precisely one election, but they have not moderated. In fact, they are leaning into their radicalism even more. They just elected an attorney general who is guilty of the most extreme violent rhetoric we've ever heard from a major party candidate at any level in any race. Wokeness is not dead. The term may be dead, but the thing itself is still very much alive and well. We have to meet it aggressively and unapologetically to defeat it. Now, again, I think we were all shocked at first when the reaction to the left, from the left, about the assassination of Charlie Kirk wasn't terror. It wasn't like, oh my God, what have we unleashed? It wasn't, what a horrible thing. Maybe we all need to simmer down. It was them mocking him and dressing up like him as Halloween with the blood blowing down their throat and then being surprised that they were fired for that. That's how confident they were. And a few people got fired. But at the end of the day, you have the violent rhetoric from Jay Jones coming out. Doesn't hurt him in the slightest. No Democrat even hears the question. They just ignore the question as if it doesn't exist. None of them denounce him. None of them ask him to leave the race. And then he wins the election. Is this not a wake-up call? Do we not understand what's happening here? Somebody put it well on X Day, because I said basically that the Charlie Kirk assassination has been a resounding success for the left. Then a bunch of idiots in my comment being like, but I thought it was Israel. It's like, no, it's been a resounding success for the left. The left is the one celebrating it. The left is the one moving the needle. The left is the one who hated Charlie Kirk. It has been a massive success for the left. They got to kill one of our shining lights, divide the right, and normalize political violence. And the only backlash they've received was Jimmy Kimmel's show got suspended for 2 days. And now half the so-called MAGA party, the Israeli side of the MAGA, has spent the last week and a half trying to cancel people because they have the exact same positions that Charlie Kirk had. And somebody responded in a way that was very brilliant, although I don't know if I can find it here. But it was basically like, you know, the outcome is the outcome. Like, it's just, that's what it is. Like, if they killed Charlie Kirk, and now, nearly 2 months later, the left was just like running for the hills. Everybody was they're afraid to post a rainbow flag or they'd get arrested. Like, you know, if it had gone the other way, if people had been like, okay, we're not letting this stand. We're going to teach you a lesson about what happens when you kill one of ours. And we sent like hundreds of them to jail, just like they did with January 6th. We could have done exactly the same thing that they did with January 6th. Of course, we would have been justified in doing so. And rounding up people who are in communication and, you know, throwing them in prison for, you know, terroristic activity, whatever it is. If the outcome had been, wow, the left killed Charlie Kirk, and then the outcome was the left got severely weakened and was damaged and arrested and collapsed, then they would look at that and go, gee, that was bad. That was a bad idea to do, because now things are so much worse. Instead, they killed Charlie Kirk, and it's been nothing but positive for them. It's been nothing but good. They have every incentive now to kill more people. Why shouldn't they? As Matt Walsh puts it, just to recap the last 2 months, Charlie Kirk got shot in the throat on stage. Thousands of leftists spent weeks celebrating it openly. Leftist militants took to the streets committing and calling for more violence. The AG candidate of Virginia expressed his desire to murder conservatives and watch their children die, and then Democrat voters turned out en masse to vote for him. Do you understand who your enemies are yet? Do you understand the situation that we're in? And on literally the same day that Jay Jones's text messages leaked, where he not just advocates for killing the children of his political opponents, but explains the reasoning behind it. Just to clarify that he wasn't joking, he wasn't taken out of context, he wasn't speaking hyperbolically, this was his reasoned belief. And on the same day, a Republican staffer in the Trump administration leaks the private chat messages of young Republicans and starts a firestorm that divides the entire right, gets a bunch of young people disillusioned with politics, and gave ammo to all the leftists who have been calling us Nazis the whole time. When we were gifted this immense scandal, as Matt Walsh put it, like the worst thing anybody's ever said in any race at any level. Crazy. Literally advocating for murdering his opponent's children to teach them a lesson. And all the biggest voices in the establishment Republicans were hyperventilating about denouncing jokes from young Republicans. I think I know who our enemies are. Nux at Nux underscore Taku said this, but a little bit different way. But Trump was almost assassinated and leftists were sad that the shooter missed. Luigi Mangione murdered a man in cold blood and became their hero. Charlie Kirk was assassinated and leftists celebrated his murder. Virginia attorney general candidate fantasized about murdering conservatives and their little fascist children to receive waves of support and no condemnation. Zoran Mamdani allies himself with terrorists and becomes mayor of New York City. Activist judges are releasing violent repeat offenders and rioters that assault police officers from prison. They want to kill you, not just the fringe. It's the mainstream winning strategy. Plan accordingly. Or we can work our nails to the bone, donate all of our money, elect Republicans, and they can sit back and laugh while we're killed. Will underscore Tanner underscore one on X says this. This is why I don't think Mamdani will be a wake-up call or anything of the sort. Sure, those who can will just leave. Such always happens. But there are white South Africans who still work with the ANC or even the, quote, kill the Boer chanting EFF. They know it wants them dead. They know their country went to hell after the end of apartheid. They know they face significant threat of being tortured to death in some of the most excruciating, painful ways imaginable because a thug wants their cell phone. They don't care. They think the devolution to the favela is moral because it's more equitable or whatever, and so they'll support it unto death. The same is true of all of those awfuls that affluent white female liberals on here who we saw voting for Mamdani. Sure, they'll complain about not feeling safe or whatever, but admit that race communism is evil, that equity led to their destruction, that their city is rotten because of the immigrants led into it, and that those immigrants hold views that are irreconcilable with what they used to mean to be an American, and they should thus be deported? No. They'll never have the scales fall from their eyes and realize as much. They'll keep working with our EFF because they see it as the moral thing to do in the name of equity. No lesson to be learned. No great change will come of it. Losing is not good. It just means that things get worse. Reconquista is the only path forward, not hoping things get bad enough that ideologues change their mind. And he points out how Rhodesia has gone to Zimbabwe and how old South Africa looks like a completely different world and century than new South Africa, which is in complete and utter collapse and has been for the last, what, 3-4 decades? It's what I've been saying entire time I've worked at InfoWars. The collapse, not something that happens all of a sudden. It's not something that, you know, it could be. Yeah, it could be. An EMP could hit and all the electronics could go out and it could be Mad Max tomorrow. That's possible. That's not how it goes, though. It's not how it goes in the past. It's not how history works. We're so much more likely, and we are on the path of South Africa, where everything just gets incrementally worse day over day. The number of people depending on the government versus the number of people supplying the government with tax money becomes uneven to the point of absurdity, where now you have something like 5% of all the people in South Africa pay taxes, over 50% depend entirely on revenue from the state. And that can work. They're still a country. They still send athletes to the Olympic Games. You can still go there on vacation. You might get murdered, but you can do that. America can take the same path. We could be here 300 years from now, and it could be idiocracy. It could be trash in the streets and buildings falling over and the copper wires being pulled out of the power lines, and people will still be voting for socialism. Reconquista is the only way. I agree with that completely. And when it comes to the immigrant thing, it's all ridiculous. I mean, I probably don't need to tell this crowd this exactly. Let's go to clip number 9. Here is Zoran Mamdani just lying about his claim to our heritage. Let's watch.
New York will remain a city of immigrants, a city built by immigrants, powered by immigrants. And as of tonight, led by an immigrant.
He's been an American citizen for 6 years. I wish I'd gone back and looked about things that had come out in like 2019. Like, he's older than, you know, he AI chatbots were around before he was an American citizen. Should I say that? Something like that. Now, this is a little word trickery from the left. This is a little word trickery from the Democrats, because when they say immigrants, what they mean is non-white people. They don't love immigrants. They love non-white people. They don't like white immigrants. You see how they reacted when the South Africans, who actually are under threat of death because of their skin color, were welcomed in the United States? They all had a conniption fit. They couldn't handle it. They hated it and wanted those people sent back. They don't actually love immigrants. Was New York built by immigrants? To a large degree, yes. That was where a lot of people, I mean, Ellis Island, like, we know all of that. They were European immigrants. They were all European immigrants. And this idea of America is the melting pot and New York is this diverse city that welcomes everybody, it's kind of a new thing. Do you know that? Let's go to clip number 13. Zoran Mamdani just said immigrants built this city. The city was built by 1905. The city was the biggest city in the world by 1905. And in 1905, it was 97.7% European American. 97.7% European. And here's what it looked like. Clip 13. Look at these guys. Oh, man, they're so happy. They're, you know, risking their lives up on high-rise buildings, working their fingers to the bone, just thinking of the day that it will all be handed off to ungrateful Ugandan usurpers. Just horrible. Blech. They're all just sitting there just waiting for the diversity. They don't know what to do with themselves with this lack of diversity. You got this big, beautiful city, just ripe, ready to be given away to people who hate us. Isn't that nice for them? They get to come to a country they didn't help build, that they actively despise, and then become leaders in this country by promoting hating America. And it's not that this is a, you know, side issue. As William Wolf puts it, at William_E_Wolf on X, it's incredibly important to understand that Mamdani was not actually elected mayor of the historic American city that we know as New York City, because that city doesn't really exist anymore. Due to intentional mass replacement migration, New York City is now a third world metropolis wearing the Big Apple as a skin suit. Americans didn't elect Mamdani, foreigners did. And his election is not the beginning of the end for NYC, it's a death certificate. Finally, it's a reminder that everything right now is inescapably comes back to immigration. If we don't stop mass migration, accelerate deportations, denaturalization, and remigration, this will happen over and over again until the United States is nothing more than a separate conglomeration of Mumbai's, Mogadishu's, and Mexico cities. Here you can see the white population in New York City, which maintained at 98, 97, 95, 94, 90% in 1950, starts to move towards, by the time you're in 1960, you're at 77%. Then you see the outcome of the 1965 Immigration Act, and it plunges to 52%. Through at this point, we're at 32%, and I think that's even a little high. I think that's a little bit high. You know, you had people posting things of, posting images of 9/11 and saying, oh, I can't believe New York forgot. And they didn't forget. The people that were alive then have been driven out or died and their children aren't there. They've been replaced. They've all been replaced. Probably 70% of New York wasn't in New York on 9/11. They don't care. Probably weren't even in America on 9/11. They don't care. They really don't care. I mean, well, maybe I shouldn't say they don't care. They do care because they hate it a lot. They actually genuinely hate America and care a lot about destroying it in any which way that they can. Now, I've gone this whole show without telling you about some things, and I've got a whole pile on my desk here. And folks, if you're in New York City, pay attention. If you live in New York City, this could be the thing for you, folks. One of four signature knives now available from thealexjonesstore.com. And we have four different styles for your predilection. We've got the quick release blade, which is this one here. And it is a very quick release. Very cool sort of army green handle. Very solid construction. Very amazing knife. Where's the, I don't even know where the release is on this. This button to the side. Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's very nice. So we have four new knives. We have the quick release. We have a burnt orange quick release, which I believe this one is. Which is very cool. Definitely more, noticeable. If you're out hunting or something, you might want the orange one. We also have the, which one's this one? The Phantom Blade. That one's very cool and a little bit bigger than the others. And then we have the Fixed Blade as well. All of these are now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. They're a new collection. Get all four or just get one. This is the ring one as well. That one's really cool. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you.
There is a white supremacy problem. And it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog, let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.
Looks like Joe Biggs just got suspended. You want to see the video that got him suspended? I can't even play the end of it because it got cut off while I was recording it.
And guess what? There's too many people out here going, oh, I got to come to Cash and Alexis's defense. No, you don't. Cash Patel is a grown man. He wanted to be the director of the FBI. He was nominated. This is not about whether or not Cash Patel as a person or a human being is nice or been kind to you. We are fighting for America. And guess what? process of burning it all down to the ground, because that's what you said, Cash. You said that if you got in there, that you were going to bring it all down. You also were making fun of Ray and saying that Ray shouldn't be using his plane to go flying all over the place doing all the shit that he's doing. But here you are, Cash Patel, flying all over the place, a booze full of or a box full of booze, going to Vegas, going to see your sensation of a country music singer girlfriend that no one's ever heard of. But guess what, everybody? Cash is nice and Alexis is nice, and I've met them before, and they're really nice. I don't give a how nice you are. We are trying to save this country, and you're being fake and gay. I don't care about your feelings. This is not a job about whether or not you feel good. This is a job. This is a wartime job. We are occupied by a foreign nation. Our Congress, our Senate are all taking money for the most part from AIPAC. Israel controls everything. The second in command, basically, in our country, Susie Wiles, ran Bibi Netanyahu's campaign. Who do you think's giving Trump all this shit? Why do you think this go around is so much different than the last? Because we went from America first to MAGA, please. Making Israel great again. That's all we see are our politicians. Why are our state politicians, why are governors sitting around at these events with 90 Israeli flags all over the place saying, I stand with Israel, and one American flag back in the corner? So guess what? If you don't have the balls to bring it down, like you said, stand down, move over. You and Bongino have both destroyed your legacy. You spent all these years talking shit about how you're going to bring it down and about how all this corruption's in there and that you've got the receipts, the criminality's been taking place, and that you could, you're so mind blown that charges aren't being brought on these individuals. But now you're at the helm. Now there's no more excuses, and you still aren't bringing charges. Oh, we're making public announcements. We're going to indict somebody. Shut the f*** up. Day one, January 20th, 2021, Joe Biden took office, put his hand on the Bible, swore in. Guess what he did? The FBI came to my house and took me to jail. It doesn't take time to build shit. It takes the f***ing balls to do it. And Cash, you ain't got him. You talk to Big Game. Bongino, you talk a big game. You both like to run your f***ing traps all the time. But you ain't got the f***ing balls to do the actual job. So stand down, resign, and let someone come in there that has it. Let Kyle Serafin come in there. Let Garrett O'Boyle. Let Steve Friend. Let all these other guys that stood up and actually exposed the corruption and actually know how the FBI works come in there and dismantle it the right way. Because you guys do not have the intellectual capacity to do it. You don't have the f***ing balls to do it. And quite frankly, you're just too scared.
So that was a video Joe Biggs put out on X, and then he had his account suspended, I guess. That is the reporting from Matt Baker. So I wanted to show that and encourage anybody out there to tag Elon Musk and encourage Joe Biggs to get back on X to unsuspend him. It may have been an intense video, but he's absolutely right about everything he said. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
big... My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost... I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. It's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. I'll go to your phone calls here momentarily. One more video before we do. Clip number 12. This was the mood in New York City after the victory of Mamdani yesterday. Let's watch.
We're done hiding. We're done. We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah! Worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
So they understand. They understand they're in war. They understand they're trying to take the country over. And it's just entirely up to us if we have the will to exist or not. If the West has the will to continue on, then we can defeat these people with ease. If we don't, then we'll go away. It's entirely in our hands now. It's up to us whether we feel like recognizing and confronting the threat or whether we just resign ourselves to the dustbin of history. I know which side I'm on. I'm just wondering, where do we muster? Where do we muster? Let's go out to your calls now. Godzilla in Wisconsin is first on the list. Go ahead, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Yeah, can I make a product plug real quick?
Yeah, please.
So I purchased the trench knife from you guys. I'm a knife and blade and weapons collector. And it's a fantastic knife. And I was wondering about the price, and I found the same company, great company. I won't name it, but it's a great, well-known knife company. And they sell it for the same price as you guys are selling it. So it's kind of nice that, you know, you get to buy a quality product and also fund what you guys are doing. And you guys are always providing original, wild content every day. So I appreciate it. But yeah.
Thank you very much. And just to let you know, we do have this new knife collection, these four new knives. There's the trench knife he's talking about. That one is a knife. That one makes you want to punch something when you're holding it. That's a very cool one. And that's on sale, almost half off there on the alexjonesstore.com. The new knives, the quick release blade, the ring blade, the orange folding blade, and the phantom folding knife are all, you know, just as high quality, absolutely incredible, super, super sharp. And not only are they, you know, a very good price by themselves, if you're a VIP, there's an extra discount on them. So join the VIP club. It's $30 to join. You get $40 to spend on the store, and you get big discounts on some of the best products like these new knives, the ring knife, the quick release knife, and the phantom folding blade. All of those, you actually get an additional, you know, $10, $12, $13 off if you're a VIP member. So make sure to check that out. Thank you for the plug, my friend, but that's not why you called in.
Yeah. Well, one more thing real quick. It's a really nice length too, you know, because you want the blade long enough that it can like puncture the lung and get into the organs and stuff. But anyway, I think with the Mamdani, communist Islamic, victory in New York, I think next up, looking in the cards and looking in history, what happens is that there's going to be a fascism movement coming to New York. Like Mussolini said and others said, you know, fascism follows communism like bada bing follows bada boom, you know, and other people have said that too. And then I don't know if you're familiar with Austrian philosopher and economist Hayek. He said, you know, fascism is the stage after communism when the illusion fails. So, you know, that being said, you know, it's not something obviously I want. But looking around at who's going to be the characters down the road, you know, I'm concerned, you know, about Nick Fuentes. You know, he could be rising to power. He's a rising star, different characters. And I think that we should kind of see down the road and try to find who's going to be those type of leaders, so we don't have some radical person, you know, get in. And, you know, I think you guys or Jones should find him a nice girlfriend that kind of amps him up and supercharges him, because I think he needs some testosterone boosting and stuff, and that, I think that would be a good idea. And, obviously the best thing to avoid it is if Trump fights back, and, you know, there's a lot of options he can do to prevent, you know, communism from spreading, because obviously it's going to be an absolute disaster with the policies that he's putting, that Mamdani is putting in, because, you know, it's already so bad over there, and it's just going to get progressively worse with the crime. All the rich people are already leaving, you know, real estate prices in the surrounding areas of New York have already spiked up to 18%. They're calling it the Mamdani effect in New Greenwich and surrounding areas, you know, Connecticut and such. I wanted to ask you real quick, though, as a question, is do you think it would be a more efficient and more humane choice nonviolently just to take over these cities that are already weakened by their poor leadership, Chicago, New York, L.A., and just take them over militarily by force while we're still in power? Or should we just let them collapse and, you know, cause undue human suffering, kind of like a new crusade, but interior?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think that the federal government does have a responsibility to step in places like Chicago and L.A. And I think, you know, removing their leadership and putting somebody new in really isn't even the worst idea. I mean, I think when you've got, you know, the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, basically asking to be arrested, Trump has said he would arrest Mamdani if New York Police Department wasn't allowed to cooperate with ICE, which, I guess so. I guess we want that. I mean, it's better than having a city that's collapsing or failing or crime ridden. So I think that's possible. I mean, like you said, you know, fascism has always been a response to communism. Anywhere it's come up, it is because the communists are gaining power and there's a fascist response to it. It never goes the other way around. So that's absolutely true. And, you know, I guess the irony of all of this is that somebody said it today in a response to Ted Cruz, where Ted Cruz was going, oh, this looks really bad. And like, maybe said something like, we look like we're the, you know, Weimar Germany or something. And, you know, what comes next is really terrible. And the person responded like, yeah, you know what also Weimar Germany had? It was a bunch of feckless, you know, loser politicians that didn't do what was necessary to stop the collapse and, in fact, paved the way for Hitler. So if you don't want Hitler, you have to do something. You have to actually improve the lives of the citizens so they aren't looking around for a savior. It's like, this is so obvious. It's so incredibly obvious. Same thing we say with, you know, Israel. When it's like, oh, they're rising anti-Semitism. It's like, all you have to do is not be slaves to Israel. Like, it's very easy to stop the momentum in its tracks by fulfilling the role that you are now in. Like, it's really not that complicated. The Republicans, if that's their fear, which it seems to be the overriding fear, they seem a hell of a lot more concerned about the radical right than the radical left, even though it's the radical left that are killing them, which is completely absurd, but that is the case. And they aren't doing anything to actually stop the far right from rising, because the far right only rises when the center right fails to achieve their objectives, fails to give the citizens anything, fails to uphold the promises that they made on the campaign trail. That's when you're going to get the desperation that leads to the extremism. What they have to do is take all of the power we have already given them and actually give us something in return, show us that the ship is being righted, and nobody's going to be going to look for, you know, the Hitler 2.0 to set things right, or the Mussolini 2.0 or the Franco 2.0. But when the politicians we send to office twiddled their thumbs and send $10 billion to Israel and then pat themselves on the head, what do you expect to happen? And like, these are two headlines that were literally one after the other. And I think they, you know, go a long way to explain, just there to illustrate the absurdity of our modern world. The first one is this: Wall Street bonuses expected to be the highest in 4 years, consultancy says. Wall Street bonuses expected to rise for the second year as traders and investment bankers are surging deal volume and market volatility, according to financial compensation consultancy Johnson Associates. Okay, Wall Street bonuses highest in 4 years, followed by American household debt hits record high. Okay, middle class, lower class, cannot pay their bills, but Wall Street is getting record bonuses. If those two headlines, one after the other, don't tell you the problem in America and that inequality always precedes civilizational collapse, you should probably have a good understanding of the trouble that we're in. Thank you for the call, Godzilla. Let's go to Timothy in the USA. Timothy in the USA, you're on the air.
How's it going, Harrison?
Good, thank you.
I call in from time to time, and I kind of rail on the fact that, like we're all focusing, the national conversation's focusing on the identity politics. And, like, I used to be a liberal, right? But I became right-wing because the right-wing cared actually about human rights. Right? That's the only separation between the two, I think, is that the right-wing cares about human rights to the point where they're going to try to do something about it. But ultimately, there's still the identity politics back and forth, right? And that's going to go on until the end of time. And the fascism that's going to grow behind this is because of all of the clash of civilization that's going to happen. And it's all weaponized. I suggest you bring on, there's a guest that you should probably listen to. I think Walter Veit, V-I-E-T-H. Okay. And in one of his, in his documentary or his lecture, The Red Palpacy, he talks about the fact that Islam and the Vatican are basically co-equals to this seat that the Shriners sit on. They're basically, it's ruled by the Shriners, bro. So what we're doing is that we're members of a corporation just doing what we're told, right? We're getting orders, we're getting stimuli, and we're basically just facilitating that, right? And the only real way, and I've studied this, you know, I have, the only way to get past all of this is to focus on what they did to you, Harrison, is that you have nanotech in you now, don't you?
Apparently.
Yeah. I think that's the scariest thing that we're all facing. It's not the invasion, bro. It's the invasion that already happened. We're all live. We have nanotech in it. And if we're going to actually escape this paradigm, this because that's literally what it is, man. We're just feeding into what they want. If we're going to escape it, we have to focus as a collective, not necessarily as a, you know, a communist collective or a hive mind, but we have to put forth so much effort to focus on that one issue alone that we're going to get all of the people that are sitting on the fence, because I hate to tell you, Harrison, the identity politics conversation, ugly, no matter who's saying it, bro, no matter who is saying it. Okay, it's been turned so ugly these days that nobody wants to hear it anymore. We all have fatigue. And when you brought on the guest who was talking about the nanotech, that right there was groundbreaking. That should have been, but you yourself are so conditioned in this that you went on for 15 minutes about some Afghanis raping some woman or some girl. And I know that's horrible and horrendous and stuff, but that's the stuff that they want us to focus on, is that criminality, while they get away with what they're actually doing, which is uploading everybody with the nanotech, because then the fascism is going to show up in the police state, the internet of bodies, and then there will be no escape. Then we're all equal again. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate
you letting me talk.
No, I think you have a point, but it's like I said, earlier. I mean, I think about this as, you know, like a real war, and, you know, if people don't have money, if they don't have jobs, then they're not going to have money. If they don't have money, they're definitely not going to have extra money. Then they're not going to have anything to contribute to the political causes. Like, Americans being replaced by Indians by the tens of thousands, that hampers our ability to fight the nanotech. Do you get that? Like, if we don't have the authority, if we don't have the power, if we're not in the positions that we need to be in, that's why these things get passed, because people who believe the opposite of us are the ones in charge. So it's one thing if it's identity politics, in that you're voting for the person that you're voting for because they're the identity that they are and the ideas don't matter. That is certainly the case with a lot of the votes that happened yesterday. But there's a difference between that and, like, recognizing that replacement migration is going on and that it's actually an attack that is part and parcel with the nanotech attack or think about, you know, what they tried to achieve during COVID, how they failed because we stood up, because we protested. I can't remember who it was. I think it was yesterday, maybe Ian, one of the Ians was saying that, or the day before, was saying that, you know, it was the trucker protests that really stopped all of the increasing, you know, COVID restrictions. You know, the trucker protest in Canada was very impactful on that. Well, what happened following that? The trucker industry was targeted for H-1B usurpation, and now there's 10,000 Indians driving trucks on the road, crashing and getting CDL license illegally, and they're disenfranchising the white truckers who showed that they would stand up against tyranny. So, you know, to say that identity politics is a distraction or that it's, you know, not a winning message, it's part and parcel with all of it. If you want people to stand up against the tyranny, then you need those people to have jobs, and you need those people to, you know, be able to subsist and support a family. And if their jobs are being outsourced to people who have no history, no heritage of liberty, I mean, try to sell, you know, small government in Hyderabad or whatever. Nobody cares. They don't have that. They don't have that heritage. They don't have that history. They don't have that instruction in school. It doesn't matter to them. So that's why they're being brought over. So it's like, it's not that it's like a white people, I want white people to have jobs. It's like the people who are trying to enslave us are giving our jobs away to people who are more easily able to be enslaved. That's why this is all happening. And like, there's a story I haven't even covered today. American Airlines conducts layoffs as carrier reports recent loss. American Airlines announced Tuesday it's laying off a small number of its staff, a move it says will optimize its performance and improve efficiency. The airline reported a net loss of $114 million in the third quarter, despite a revenue of $13.7 billion. And basically, American Airlines got this Indian CEO that is just now offshoring all of their jobs to India. And this is just happening. It's not American Airlines anymore. It's Hyderabad Airlines. American Airlines is slashing thousands of jobs, with employees left heartbroken as their roles are shifted to India. American Airlines has reportedly started a massive round of layoffs targeting thousands of employees in middle management across multiple departments, including airport operations, engineering, and customer support and IT services. News of the latest layoffs of the Dallas-based carrier emerged Monday afternoon as employees showed up for work, only to have their security passes confiscated before being unceremoniously escorted out of the airline's offices and airport concourses. So, like, I'm against that. I'm against a American industry leader abusing their employees because they can pay Indians slightly less for the same work. And the end result of that is now we have thousands and thousands of high-paying American jobs that no longer exist. That money's not remaining in our economy. It's being shipped to India. And those people with those jobs are going to have to probably go get a lower-paying job in a, you know, position that they're, you know, not trained for and haven't worked for their whole lives. Now, is it identity politics for me to say it's bad that this is being offshored to India and that it's part of, you know, a characteristic of these Indian CEOs that they seem to prefer their co-ethnics and will do things to benefit India and hurt America because they have loyalty to India and don't actually uphold American values? You can call that identity politics, but it's absolutely the truth, and our enemies understand that and are weaponizing it and using it as a weapon against us. So to ignore that or to not combat that isn't to be elevated above it. It's simply to ignore the attack that is, in fact, damaging you. One long-serving American Airlines employee wrote, "I was one of the IT people that got laid off. I worked there for 37 years and was given my notice in February. There are reports that American Airlines is looking to shrink its total workforce by 4 to 5%, with the current workforce of around 132,000. That can mean between 5,000 and 6,600 job losses." Okay, and we have, you know, the information about this. There's a Reddit thread of the American Airlines employees talking about the pivot to India. This one says, I was one of the IT people that got laid off. I worked there for 37 years and was given notice in February. They're doing it in waves. Yes, the jobs were either dissolved or moved to a new Hyderabad office. These are management and staff non-union positions. Somebody says India, and he says, yes, Hyderabad in India. AA, American Airlines, opened a large IT office there. It's the brainchild of Ganesh Garayam, the CIO. He came from John Deere and did the same thing to them. Also, the manager of the new office was at GE and did the same thing to them. So you've got these Indian CEOs and CIOs and executives jumping from company to company, increasing the stock prices, increasing the returns to investors, increasing the, you know, how it looks on paper, but doing it by systematically eliminating American jobs and offshoring them to their home country. Is that identity politics? Maybe we need somebody to protect American jobs, and specifically white American jobs, from this racial looting that's obviously going on. Rare Gary on X writes, unsurprising, American, in quotes, airlines is another company riddled with Indian executives, which have been aggressively engaging in nepotistic offshoring. Maybe they can rename it to, you know, Vaishnapara Airlines or whatever. Ganesh Garayam is the executive vice president, chief digital and information officer. Anchal Gupta is the senior vice president, chief technology officer. Am Maniyar is the vice president, infrastructure of operations. Chandra Vijhala is the president of the tech hub in India. Madhava Raju Chamarthi is the director of the airlines operations technology. And Chana Ram is the director of IT. Prashanth Pasupuleti is the engineering. I mean, it just goes on and on, right? So basically every C-suite position in American Airlines has just been one by one given over to Indians who are now offshoring the high-paying executive and IT jobs that used to be, you know, used to, you know, be the income for families in Dallas. Well, they'll now be offshored to Hyderabad and never return. So, you know, identity politics as such, you can hate, you can love, it doesn't matter. The reality is identity is a core component of the human experience, and it's white men versus the world. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. And I really can't explain it any more than that. As Geiger Capital put it, as a result of the election in New York City yesterday, white men are the only group in New York City that did not vote for Zoran Mamdani, literally white men versus everybody else. So whether it's white men, white women, black women, Latino men, Latino women, or all the others combined, white men were the only ones that didn't vote for Zoran Mamdani. They still voted for him to 43%, don't get me wrong. And it's still 43% of white men that have been castrated, deracinated, and cucked. But if you think that race and ethnicity has nothing to do with this, then you're not paying attention to the people that are doing it to us, who seem to consider their identity and their ethnicity the supreme thing about them.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You the viewer, you the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it in a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexshowstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexshowstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation. And has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear. We have the Trump gear. We have the InfoWars gear. We have the Alex Jones gear. We have the comedy gear. We have a lot of, you know, fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts. We have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. All the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days. It started a few days ago. A Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products. Everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red about to sell out. All supplements. The Ultra Methylene Blue. The Shilajit. The Irish Sea Moss. The Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox. All shirts, hats, hoodies. Plus, 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buy anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. We can't do without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I gotta say, we started this hour off showing a video from Joe Biggs that apparently got him banned off of X. He was criticizing Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, although we didn't get to see the end of the clip because as Matt Baker was recording it, it was censored and deleted off. So I'm not sure what he said that was so offensive, but apparently this is happening more and more. Our good friend Chris Paul apparently had his account deleted. All he ever did was upload clips of InfoWars. So I really encourage you all to go follow Chris Paul at NotInfoWars1984, N-O-T, InfoWars1984, at NotInfoWars. Go follow him because basically all he did was upload clips of me and Alex, the War Room and the American Journal with Brandon Morello, and apparently got his account suspended. Your account, InfoWars1984, is reported and has been suspended for violating the rules against authenticity, which is very bizarre. He's got his name on it, and he just was uploading, you know, videos that I would always retweet. And I didn't realize till just now that he apparently had his account deleted. So I encourage you to go follow him and tag Elon Musk and ask him to unban InfoWars 1984. But in the meantime, please follow at NotInfoWars 1984. He is a major supporter of this show. And we really encourage all the hard work he does. And folks, if you ever want to clip out a part of this show or go to band.video and download the video, you can get a high quality download directly from band.video. You can cut it yourself, upload it yourself, and I'm happy to retweet it. Hopefully you won't get banned, but you could actually build quite a bit of a following if you're good at it. So, I of course encourage you to support all the people that do that. With that, we go back out to the calls. By the way, in case you're wondering, I've got these four beautiful knives out in front of me. This is the newest collection of knives from thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com has just presented the Signature Blade Collection. The lineup is rugged, reliable, and folders engineered for real-world demand. Reliable folders is what it says. Each model combines premium steels, secure locks, and ergonomic grips for unmatched performance in the field, at work, or on the go, all chosen for everyday carry in mind, and Alex Jones' personal signature laser etched onto them. They come in this beautiful gift box as well. They'd make a fantastic president. present for the Info Warrior in your life, the Alex Jones Phantom folding knife, the Alex Jones burnt orange folding knife, and the Alex Jones ring blade knife, as well as the Alex Jones quick release blade. All of these would make fantastic everyday carry knives. They are extremely well-crafted, well-made, and affordable. They're all on discount now at thealexjonesstore.com, and you get an extra $10 to $14 off depending on the knife you choose if you are a VIP member. So sign up as a VIP member. It costs $30 a month, but you get $40 instantly as in-store credit. You can apply it to the cost of that knife and get an extra $10 to $12, $13, $14 off depending on which knife you get. You get an extra discount if you're a VIP member. Just another bonus, another reason to join at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Now we go to Bregan in Wisconsin. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Bregan, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. My wifey likes to give both you and I a little bit of BS about our shop teacher glasses, which are the same, but that's not why I'm calling in.
My wife loves these glasses.
I like having glasses that don't get wrecked when you're reading and you fall asleep. So, but I wanted to talk about strategic relocation, and big shout out to all the Wisconsinites like Godzilla, and there's a guy named Mac and a guy named Max and various other people. But there are tons of cheeseheads that love you as much as Texans do. Anyway. So strategic relocation, I bought that way back with Joel Skousen.
Yep.
I have the book, I have a DVD. I had to replace the DVD because it was not given back to me. And I had to buy two copies of Endgame because, you don't normally get back what you want. Anyway, when Alex was talking about the quickening, back in, let's say, 2012, people said, yeah, the quickening, yeah. Even Gerald Talenti was on board with that. And now we're looking at, here's the end around of the quickening. And it is now what we were told. And it is not the quickening anymore. The quickening is already here. So I wanted to mention to your listeners strategic relocation and Captain James Wesley Rawls, retired Army intelligence officer who never shows a current photo of himself, never says where he lives, and I wouldn't either if I were him. And the books, I think, were in the store at InfoWarsStore.com and maybe still in AlexJonesStore.com. Anyway, the point being that we moved out of the Berkeley of the Midwest, namely Madison, Wisconsin, and 2 years ago. And that was because of Alex, really.
Alex, so you did. You strategically relocated.
Yeah, so I'm surrounded by the most freshwater lakes on the face of the planet right now. And so is it easy to get from here to there without going around 10 lakes? No, but
that's what you want. But that's what you want. I got to say, I mean, I've always said that it's worth it to stay and fight as long as humanly possible. I think part of the psyop that has led us to this point is this idea that the right wing has to always run away. If your school's teaching something you don't like, you better homeschool. If your city's doing something you don't like, you better leave. And I've always, taken the tack of like, does the left leave? Does the left abandon their post when things go against them? No, they double down. And if the school's not liking something you're doing, you got to take the school over. I mean, that's the tactic I always promote. Seeing the way things are going now, I'm projecting down the line. And I'm like, all right, if Trump doesn't do what's necessary and Democrats get into power, like, I'm not exaggerating, and we know that these people aren't joking when they say they're going to do what they're going to do. Trump right now is talking about getting rid of the filibuster, mostly because the left wants to get rid of the filibuster. If they have no filibuster, if they pack the Supreme Court, I mean, there's no limit to what they can do, and obviously their constituents are going to go along with it. There's no restricting energy from the constituency on the left, right? The left says, hey, we're just going to, we're going to do a roundup. I mean, they're already gathering all of our information, geofencing, and from Arctic Frost, we know they're gathering up the cell phone data and the bank data and who goes to church. And I mean, they already have all that data and they're compiling it. You really think if the left, you know, came out and said, everybody who supported Trump is a white supremacist, all white supremacists are terrorists, now we're going to use all these, you know, rules and laws and precedents that Trump set. I mean, that's why I don't like Trump doing things like blowing up the boats in Venezuela. It's like, what is the point of that? What are we gaining from that? Is that really the best way to do it? Is that even worth it? I mean, even if I was in charge, if ostensibly the reason it's happening is because they're bringing drugs over. Okay, bomb one, maybe two boats. From then on, those boats know they're going to get bombed if they get caught. So from then on, all you need to do is like light them up with a spotlight from a helicopter and be like, abandon ship now or you're going to get bombed. And then you could not just stop the drug flow trade. You could arrest the people rather than killing them. You could question them. You could use them as hostages to try to get leverage on the other people doing it. You could actually, you know, seize the stuff and do all sorts of things with it. But just blowing up the boat, all you're doing is setting a precedent that now anywhere in the world, if they declare you a terrorist, even if you're not committing terrorism, but doing something else that's illegal, like transporting drugs, they can drone strike you from the air. Like, this is insane. And if the leftists get power in America, you can see, I mean, look at how they're acting and they're not even in power. Look at the way that they're talking and they are supposedly out of office and should be on the run. They're not. They're basically pointing at us and going, next time we're in office, we're throwing all of you in prison. So if the Republicans don't do what's necessary, if there is not, and we're rapidly running out of time, if there is not serious moves made towards securing America, I am not at all comfortable in, you know, making the claim that I'm not going to be in prison in the next 10 years. I mean, I don't commit crimes. I don't call for violence. That's not going to stop them. All right. And we've seen what they're going to do. And, you know, if we go back in time, I wonder, I mean, now that they've been pardoned, I'm sure like the January 6th guys are happy and they, you know, they followed their heart and they trusted in God and it all worked out for them. But like if Trump hadn't gotten elected and they're all sitting in prison for 25 years for a crime that they weren't even present at, you know, in the case of Enrique Tarrio, not even in the same city, but he's thrown in prison for 20 years. Like if we know that that is where this goes, if we know that there could be a time very soon when the FBI is kicking down my door because of something I said on this program, like, I'm not going to let them put me in a box for 20 years. I'm not going to let them throw me in a cage like an animal. I'm just not. So things might get crazy. All I'm saying is, like, within the next 10 years, really within the next, like, year, Republicans have a chance to save us. If they don't, then in the next 10 years, it is an almost a certainty that there will be extreme oppression, extreme tyranny in this country from the left, literally putting us in camps. So strategic, relocation, I don't think is far-fetched in the slightest. I think now is the time to start making those plans because they might be necessary come 2028, which is terrifying. But I really, as I play it out in my head, I don't see the Republicans doing enough. And I see everything that they are doing being half measures that mean that not only is it just going to piss off the left even more, it's going to set precedents and create conditions that make it significantly harder to prevent anything that they want to do. Filibuster is the greatest example. If they eliminate the filibuster and then just don't do anything with it, then all they will have done is just removed a main tool that we would then need to prevent them from like authorizing drone strikes in Utah, right? I mean, and if you think that's crazy, I mean, these people are crazy. Like, yeah, it is crazy, but that's who we're dealing with. So I think strategic relocation is a very useful book to have on hand these days. And I'm not saying you have to run away right now, but I think preparations are in order. Thanks for the call, Bregan. Let's go to Rich in Tennessee. Can't rely on Republicans. An understatement, in my opinion, Rich, but a true statement. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Harrison. That was a great lead for what I wanted to talk about. We're dealing with a bunch of vigilantes, really. They could care less about any of the laws or about us or about life or anything. They defy the Supreme Court. And, you know, I agree with you on the filibuster. I think that would be a terrible move. They'd pass all sorts of legislation. But the way you deal with a bunch of vigilantes is with vigilante justice. And what people need to do now is to set up their own local militias and do it with your friends, your family. That way, when this comes about, which it's gonna, because there's been a lot of lip service that's been going on, then no one is going to be above the law or off limits. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, a DA or a judge or a corrupt cop or whatever. We have a constitution that we need to uphold. Everything goes back to what the federal government can't do, which they have a lot of overreach. Should go back to the states or to the people. And that's about where it's come back down to, is we the people.
Yeah.
And my plan is that we the people should start forming our own local militias. And we're going to have to fight like hell. And I know that you're not pushing violence, but you know what? I am. And we're going to have to. I'm an old guy. I've seen a lot. Went through Vietnam. I know what fighting is. And that's what it's going to come down to. Because you're dealing with a bunch of ruthless communists and nothing is off limits for them. In fact, when you're talking about knives, why don't you bring your little double-edged toad sticker out. I bought a couple of those. They're very nice little fighting knives, actually. They're good and sturdy.
Oh, our knives are good. People who know knives, they know these knives. And, yeah, look, you're going to want to be prepared. I've always been in favor of militias. I am never in favor of offensive violence, but absolutely you have a right as an American to join a militia, to be training, to be practicing, to be going out in the woods with your buddies and camping and shooting and hunting and, you know, working on your skills and organizing and getting radios and having code words and having meeting places in case communications go down. These things are absolutely necessary. And just know, like the video that we played earlier of the Muslim guy in New York, you know, just going, this is it. We're taking over. Islam will control all of you. It's like, you know those guys are going to the range, right? Do you know that? Do you know those guys are going to the range? Do you know those guys are stockpiling weapons? Do you know those guys have entire communities that this is what they do every weekend? Are you? Are you getting prepared? Because they are, okay? Are you training? Because they are. Are you in a group of people that will have your backs? Because they do. I pray it doesn't get to that point, but the thing that is preventing violence at this moment is the comfort of the American people. Is the fact that you can still go get a cheeseburger at McDonald's, you can still zone out and watch football, you can still ignore everything happening in the world if you really want to. We still have that comfort. We still have the bread and circuses in enough and in sufficient quantity to distract anybody that wants to be distracted. Now you start talking about the economy really starting to collapse. You start getting hyperinflation. And the money supply going the way of the Weimar Republic. When you take away the comforts and the distractions, you're going to get violence. And that could be not very far into the future. Thank you so much for the call, Rich. And I very much agree with you, sir. Thank you. Let's go to Jay in Virginia now. Go ahead, Jay. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm surprised about, I am kind of surprised, but not surprised about how things were voted, because it's kind of BS, because it's like, well, the Republican Party didn't do, I don't know how to, I'm trying to keep my words.
No, that's all right.
I'm not trying to swear. But,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. But you're there in Virginia. Your state just flipped blue, new blue.
Yes,
governor.
And I am. I'm sorry, but I'm really pissed off about that, because it's like, all right, we just had an AG that wants to kill, you know, his
Republicans. Yeah.
Yes. And then we have. Yeah. You can say it's like. Well, our governor. Oh, yeah, the trans thing and all that. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Trump put things in there, but other states.
I'm right there with you, Jay. It's like that's why it's hard to do this. It's like, really, you all voted for the guy that wants to kill his enemies. Like, what is there even to say at this point? Like, I can get up here and go, that's bad. But it's like, yeah, obviously it's bad. Like, that's the craziest part. Do we really need to tell people that, like, you probably shouldn't vote for the guy to be the top cop in your entire state who will explain in excruciating detail how and why he wants his enemies' children killed in front of them? Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? So, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, I think a lot of the callers are on the same page I am at this point. And again, it's not about this being a surprise necessarily. It's just like, okay, you know, if this had gone differently, I might come in here and go, you know, things are going pretty well. Like if, and it, you know, it's not a major difference, but like if, you know, if Sliwa won and if Jay Jones was rejected, I'd go, okay, all right. People of America are sane. We have, you know, we have a chance here to keep making the argument and keep winning hearts and minds and, you know, succeed into the future. And Trump, you know, the Trump administration might have a little extra time now. Maybe it's not quite the panic, you know, era that I think it is, because the way I'm seeing it, we are exactly 1 year today from the midterm elections. And I don't see Trump doing absolutely anything to either A, satisfy his base, but certainly not grow it to any degree. And I think maybe we underestimated the effect that Kamala had on the 2024 election. You know, now that I look at some of the ways that you had one county in particular, and it's a small one, but it went plus 30 for Trump and then plus 40 for Democrats this time. So in some places in America, you have a 70-point swing between 2024 and 2025. That's 1 year, a 70-point swing. So that's got me thinking, okay, these people didn't even like Trump in the first place. They probably didn't like Republicans in the first place. I think just Kamala was that bad of a candidate, and the whole way they handled it was that bad of a situation that people that otherwise would vote blue 99% of the time just couldn't bring themselves to let Kamala take the reins. So now that I'm looking back, I'm looking at the you know, things that flipped red in 2024 have now flipped back and then some in a single year. I'm looking back and going, okay, 2024 is a fluke because Kamala was just that bad of a candidate, and we can't expect to have the worst candidate ever running against us every single time. That was a very rare occurrence. And of course, you know, Trump was the factor as well that got us over the top. But, you know, Trump needs to not be the only guy in the Republican Party that believes what he believes. And I don't know what the hell is wrong with the other Republicans that they don't see. I mean, they're being given a blueprint to victory. Just say these things, just do these things, and the world is yours, my friend. And they're good things, and they're things you should want to do anyway. And they're the things that you promise to do most of the time. If you just do them, you'll succeed. You will be Trump. You will have love and support and respect from your constituents. Why won't they do it? What the hell is wrong with them? It's crazy, but we can only explain it so many times. We can only lead a horse to water. We can't make it drink. Thank you for the call, Jay. Let's go to Miss Lou in Florida, who says communism is but a process. Go ahead, Miss Lou, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, thank you. I just want to say that communism is the process. It's been planned for decades. You know, the Cloward Piven, you know, the Alinsky, the Marx radicals, Mao, all of it. Communism is a global movement. It is the process. When in the 40s and 50s, it started with the KGB going into the Arab world and working to subvert, Yuri Bezmenov talks about this, to subvert the Arab nations into communism. Then they formed, with the Muslim Brotherhood, eventually later on, radical jihad. Okay? This is the CCP. This is Iran, this is Russia, this is all these factions coming together to create a cultural, ideological nightmare that is to destroy the West, because they are completely incompatible. Now, the left is in step-by-step, lockstep for power. That is it. They live for it, they breathe it, that's it. They will do anything to get it. Soros is just one major example. All the millions of NGOs in this country. We unfortunately have been outplayed, outgunned, outfunded, out think tanked, all of it. Okay? So we are really in a pickle, and we have got to really get our messaging better. It isn't make America great again. It's make America America again.
Right.
We are losing what Michael Savage talked about for so long, borders, language, culture.
Wow.
We've got 500 acres in North Carolina that they're building an Indian temple to the war of God, their war god, that's going to be taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
I mean, this is the kind of Islam is the worry, though. What I wanted to say is communism is the process. Islam is the method.
Mm.
And the reason Americans have never experienced a communist takeover. When you talk to people who've been to Czechoslovakia, who've come here from Russia, who've come here, escaped Venezuela, escaped Cuba, all these people came here because they understood that we were the beacon of freedom and we weren't going to let communism happen, which they had just experienced and lost everything.
Yep. I just read a story. Sorry, we're coming to the end of the show here. I just read a story about a woman who swam 8 hours straight to escape communist China. And who's like in tears because her sons voted for Mam Dani. And she's like, what the hell? Like, I literally almost died trying to escape the thing that you just voted for. What the hell is wrong with you? And I'll never forget being in New York City, covering the Laura Loomer Twitter protest, met a woman on the street there. She was from an Eastern European country, and she was literally in tears telling me, thank you. Tell Alex Jones thank you. She was like trying to give me money. She's like handing me cash going, get this to Alex Jones. I'm going, go to the store, lady. But she's like crying, going, Alex is the only one that understands the threat that's coming down. He's the only one that's arguing against communism in the way that he should be. And she was so thankful for that. And that made a very big impact on me. And people don't know. Ms. Lou Florida, that was a fantastic call. And I completely agree with what you're saying. Islam is controllable. And that's why they like it. That's why they like communism. It's all about control.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to theAlexJonesStore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.